The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Tuesday, January 26th.
Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, dozens of firefighters rushed to the scene in Chester County after a blaze tore through a brewery and an apartment complex above on Monday night. It happened at a building that houses Victory Brewing and multiple apartments located in the 600 block of West Cypress Street in Kennett Square. The call came in at about 6:30 in the evening for a fire and reports of a loud bang. A witness said all of a sudden the building split open and a fireball shot out.
Jeez.
According to a spokesperson with Victory Brewing, there was an explosion near the tap room. Tonight, around 6:30, there was an explosion and a fire in the 600 block of West Cypress Street in the building where the Victory Brewing Company Kennett Square tap room is located. Our tap room was closed for business today, so no customers or team members were in the building at the time of the incident, said Chief Marketing Officer Derek Dettenber. No injuries were reported. PECO crews were on the scene and said roughly 55 customers were without power due to the incident. Investigators are working to determine the cause of the fire.
That could have been a whole other outcome had it been open.
Had it been, yeah, been opened. I know. And that's, so there's a brewery there, and then the Caramore Estates, their tasting room in Bluebell, burnt down a few months ago.
The hell?
I know, right?
Yeah.
PennDOT crews in southeastern Pennsylvania are preparing for a nuisance winter storm that will bring a wintry mix to parts of the region. The roads have been treated. On the way in, I saw the brine along the roadway.
Yes.
I see they'd been treated. Snow isn't expected to accumulate, but some icy conditions are likely. If you do have to go to work or be on the roads, AAA recommends taking it slow, keeping your distance from other cars on the roadways, and the crews salting the streets. It's especially important to watch for black ice, which is why AAA is urging customers to fill up their gas tanks in case there's accidents, and basically you get stuck waiting. Ron Young, a spokesman for PennDOT, said for the six-county area, they have prepared, they are prepared with 280 trucks already dumping brine and salt on the roadways. The process started up again around midnight last night. He specifically named I-78, Routes 22 and 309 as roadways that they'll be monitoring today.
Do you have a kit in your car in case you break down?
You mean like with wine?
Yes, I guess, exactly. Like raw chicken, stuff like that. Whippets.
No, I don't. I have a first aid kit. I've got the little face mask that goes over to somebody's mouth if they need CPR.
Okay.
But I don't think I have anything if I break down.
I keep a I keep a shovel, like a small shovel, in case you have an issue with snow or something like that. But I mean, as far as breaking down like jumper cables and things like that.
Well, I have that. I have a tactical shovel, Preston. It has all sorts of attachments. I actually put it in the car for the first time in a long time. I figured, since it's supposed to be for the car, I have that, I have a blanket, I have just some stuff to stay comfortable. Yeah. And, you know, I should probably have a couple of, like, protein bars or something in there, just food-wise.
Well, this is not going to be one of those.
Not for this.
Coming through. But, yeah, in the season, I always throw stuff in there.
And
like
also,
that.
If you have an impromptu picnic. You know, we like to dig holes.
Delightful. Well, that's the thing. I mean, you don't often think you're going to, you know, get stuck for days and need a blanket and stuff like that. But, like, I have been stuck where I'm starving. I'm like, how is there no snacks in here?
Not even an errant french fry between the seat and the console.
Seriously. A nearly century-old boardwalk amusement pier along the beach in Ocean City, New Jersey, was ordered to put up for auction on January 21st because the owner, who is also the resort mayor, Resort City's mayor, defaulted on an $8 million in loans. But Mayor Jay Gillian, who along with his wife owns Gillian's Wonderland Pier, said in a statement to NBC 10 News that he has secured new financing and that the property will not go up for auction by the Cape May County Sheriff. He said the COVID-19 pandemic that lasted all of 2020 vacation season at the Jersey Shore hit the pier hard. Yet much of the debt, according to court records, was accrued prior to the pandemic.
Is this just the pier or the amusements on it or the whole thing?
It's the whole thing. He owns the whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Court records.
Because if the pier is closed down, how are you going to get to the attractions?
No. I'm just saying it's like purchasing the land and there's a business that's owned by someone else on the land. I didn't know if it was, you know, you would be running the amusement park and everything or.
No. They own the amusement park. They own the pier. He's the mayor. He owns pretty much all of Ocean City. That's how it is down the shore. Same thing like in Sea Isle. Sea Seattle's mayor, owns everything in Seattle.
Okay.
Court records in State Superior Court Office of Foreclosure show that the Gillians owe First Priority Bank about $8 million in mortgage debt. Judge Michael J. Blee ordered on January 21st that the property be put up for auction in order to satisfy the debt. An attorney for the bank had no comment. Gillian did not provide details about the new financing, but he says that this isn't going to happen. He's got new financing and that they are not going to put it up for auction.
Do you guys ever frequent that?
Oh, my area? God. That was my jam.
You go to him? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I shared a story with you guys on air about there was a guy in a wheelchair whose nutsack was hanging out.
Yeah. Remember that? And you said they tasted weird.
They did taste weird. A little saltier, I should say.
I remember that story.
But I had to tell his caretaker. Right. I was like, excuse me, ma'am. Your father's testicles are exposed right now.
That's my mother. What?
Wait, Case, this one is the one that's in the lower numbers, right?
Like, it's all the way north,
first
actually.
Or second street, right?
Gosh,
it's not as
even...
good as the one that's at, like, 10th and 11th.
It's bigger than
I don't think it's as good, like the rides and stuff.
It's bigger. It's bigger.
You can
and it's
see
older.
More nutsacks.
Yeah. Then Castaway Cove is the other one.
Yes, that's the one. I like that one better.
You can see more nutsacks on this one.
You see more nutsacks on this one, right?
On the billboard.
Way more
Castaway
room.
Cove is really like...
Per capita nutsacks.
They have all the rides that are really jammed in there, and Gillian's is...
I've been in there.
Yeah.
Castaway Cove before.
They have the postcards instead of like the big husks of corn that you see. It's like huge testicles. They grow them big here on the pier.
Yeah. But I associate more so the Gillian's Wonderland Pier with Ocean City than I do Castaway. I can't believe that they owe that much money.
Well, there was no... The summer,
I know,
was,
but it's
was,
been there for decades. How...
You miss a season that is your money making thing.
I know
it's
that's what he's saying. He's saying but they're saying that this debt was prior to COVID-19.
Okay, yeah, all right.
So it might just be an excuse.
I don't understand finances at all. I don't understand how that.
Then
place,
why are you doing my tax returns?
I shouldn't be, Steve. I warned you.
Yeah.
I don't know how a business like that is not constantly that they're just not printing money. That they're not at a point in their existence where they don't owe anything at all, and it's not just pure
it's
profit.
Been around for so long.
Well, maybe he spends a lot of money all the time. That could be a part of it, too. Yeah.
The amusement pier has been in operation and run by the Gillian family since 1929.
Wow.
Yeah.
In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Sixers lost to the Pistons last night in Detroit. DeLon Wright scored a career-high 28 points, leading the Pistons to a 119-104 win over the Eastern Conference-leading Sixers. Jeremy Grant added 25 points for the Pistons, who still have the NBA's worst record but took advantage of Joel Embiid's absence, who was out with back tightness. The Sixers are back home tomorrow night as they'll host LeBron James and the NBA champs, the LA Lakers. The Flyers will look to end their two-game losing streak when they return to the ice tonight with a game against the Devils in New Jersey. The puck is set to drop at 7 o'clock. And the Eagles reached a deal to make former Chargers offensive coordinator Shane Steichen their new offensive coordinator. The 35-year-old, who was one of just two known candidates for the job, along with Denver coach Curtis Modkins. Just like defensive coordinator Jonathan Gannon, Steichen has close ties to new Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni. The two worked together with the Chargers from 2014 to 2017. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you, Kathy. And away we go on a Tuesday morning. We're more money for you to win today. No sad dough. We're going to do it, you know, twice. It's what we do in the morning, and then it happens 7 times throughout the course of the day. First time is at 8 a.m., so don't miss it. Then we'll do it at 10, and then it's on the evens up until 8 p.m. We also have a guest on the program. Dr. Kenneth Lacavara will be joining us. He is our dinosaur go-to expert guy, and we haven't talked to him in a little while. He's a professor at Rowan University. He's made some huge discoveries on
amazing stuff. Nick was saying last night that he actually is a huge fan of the station, huge fan of the show, and that he wants to be the official paleontologist of the President's Steve Show.
So we have so many of them, it's hard to pick an official one.
But he signed his email, the last email correspondence I had with him, the official paleontologist of WMMR. So, you know.
I love it.
I think he deserves it.
And actually, the reason we're getting him on is I have recently seen a few dinosaur stories, discoveries, and things that have popped up. And I'm like, all right, let's get the man who knows what he's talking about on. It's interesting
maybe
stuff.
Maybe it's just our thing, but I love it.
Yeah.
I space and dinosaurs. If we could find space dinosaurs.
Oh, my God.
But, I mean, you know, you get what you get.
But, I mean, I saw another story yesterday. There's been a discovery about Tyrannosaurus.
Yep.
And they found some fossils that indicate what they were like as babies.
Yes.
And they
were fussy.
Had that information as before. So why not? We'll get the latest on that from him. And it's always a fascinating conversation. We'll chat with him around 9 o'clock or so. These things and more are happening during the course of the program. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. We'll have a stupid question. We'll give some stuff away. And we'll face that rat race together as you head into work this morning. Stay with us. Coming back in a moment.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so stupid question prize today. Digital download of the powerful martial arts film Born a Champion with Sean Patrick Flannery, Katrina Bowden, and Dennis Quaid. So the question I have for you this morning, by the way, I got from our friend Harry Wood, who texts in emails in every now and then. Some trivia questions, and he's been on a Lord of the Rings kick,
yeah,
as of late, and he gave me like a dozen great questions. So I'm gonna pull one
Let's
out.
Let's do those questions, Preston.
I'm gonna do
Engage
one.
Engage the minds of your listeners with clever queries.
I'll do one from the Shire, since we're playing the Shire music. How old was Bilbo when he left the Shire in the first movie? 215-263 WMMR. They're having a big birthday party for him and everything.
Yep.
How old was Bilbo when he left the Shire in the first movie? 215-263 WMMR. What beautiful music to rise to.
It's wonderful.
We'll see if you know the answer. I'm going to go through some birthdays. Speaking of Bilbo's birthday, it's other people's birthday today on January 26th. We'll start with Ellen DeGeneres celebrating a birthday. And I actually have some news concerning her coming up in her show.
I still love her.
Bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no. she had a tough year.
Oh. No. Yeah, I still love her. Everything she's gone through, I've had her back. I've supported her.
You got Ellen's back? I'm sure she'd be happy knowing that.
I think she would be very happy.
Especially now that you're all pierced up.
No, shut up. No, I'm not anymore. no, I do love her. And
nothing in 2020 sort of sullied your view of Ellen?
Not really. Like, I kind of felt bad for her.
Yeah, so I watched a Tiger Woods documentary on HBO Max, and there's a part of the documentary where this dude from the National Enquirer is on there, and that guy has got such a punchable face. But his stance and working for that magazine is people like him and those publications can't wait for people like Ellen DeGeneres
to have a moment,
to have a blemish, so that they can just open it up. And
it is the long-term cycle of Hollywood. They build you up, they tear you down. Then you appear on People, the cover of People. I made mistakes.
Yeah.
And then the reclamation. Then you're wonderful again. You go through that two or three times, and then you're untouchable. But what is amazing is when you look at someone who knows how to negotiate that, a la Tom Hanks,
mm-hmm.
who's been, for all intents and purposes, impervious mm-hmm. to stuff. Also, it doesn't hurt to live your life in a good fashion.
Right.
But and not that Ellen hasn't, but
right.
sometimes that's how they live. They exist to see the tearing down process reach fruition.
And whatever happened, she addressed it quickly.
She killed 9 kids.
No, stop. She fixed it. Like, even back a long time ago when there was, I forget, what something with giving away an animal or adopting an animal. Remember? And she cried on the show.
Yeah,
like, she addressed it right away. She didn't let
That's one thing. She doesn't let it fester. Yeah. But there is, the show has taken a little bit of a ratings hit.
Because of it.
Also, she has more, Kelly Clarkson is, I think they're one leads into the other.
I've got news coming up concerning that.
All right.
We'll come to that in a moment. Ellen DeGeneres is 63 today. Now, this actor, I always forget his name, but man, has he been in a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
David Strathern.
Yes.
Strathern.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you're correct. Yeah. So in A League of Their Own, he's the guy who ran the baseball league. In Dolores Claiborne, he was the abusive husband. In L.A. Confidential, he's the pimp of the brothel.
He's very versatile.
He is in tons of stuff. And, yeah, he's a great actor. He celebrates his 72nd birthday today.
He's also in the Godzilla. He was in the Godzilla and Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Okay. Yeah, he does all kinds of work. Scott Glenn, the great Scott Glenn.
Awesome.
Man, wow, the right stuff, obviously.
I just watched that again. It's fantastic.
The Hunt for Red October was on recently as the captain of the American submarine. He's awesome in that. Silence of the Lambs, obviously. Plays, what was the character's name?
Biff Cornblatt.
No, it's not Biff Cornblatt.
Crawford.
It's Crawford.
Crawford.
Yep, not Biff Crawford. Jack Crawford. He's 82. He's been in everything.
Cowboy.
Throughout the years. He even is a role. I didn't know it was him. And I've gone back and I've seen the scene and it doesn't even look like him, but he's in Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
He doesn't speak.
No.
And he's in camo, paint on his face and you can't even tell it's him, but he's in that movie. He's 82 today. Bob Uecker celebrates his 87th birthday today. Major League kind of made a breakthrough there after his baseball career, obviously, and as a broadcaster for the Brewers. But he was an actor, too. You know, Major League, Mr. Belvedere, which is the music we're playing now.
He is a storyteller, and that's what makes him, legendary. All the late-night talk show hosts, Letterman and Carson and everybody throughout the years loved having him on.
So many great deliveries in Major League, just a bit outside. Awesome. And I love the line where he goes, here, he's looking for a stat, and he's like, I don't know. Ah, to hell with it. Nobody's listening anyway. He's 87.
Two hits.
Yep. The great Wayne Gretzky.
Wow.
And Wayne?
How old?
He's 60. I thought he was older than
so
that.
So did I. Are you sure?
What it says here. Listen, the dude was a kid when he got in the league.
It's true.
And he just ripped apart the NHL.
Yeah.
I mean, he just was the best of the best. Nobody could touch him. You go back, it's like watching, old footage of Jordan play basketball and just dominate. And you watch some of the scenes. If you go back and see some of Gretzky's greatest moments, you can't believe what he does on the ice.
Listen to this stat. He held 61 NHL records, 61 at the time of his retirement. 40 regular season records, 15 playoff records, and 6 all-star records. And the old joke is if you're at a trivia or a quiz or whatever and they ask a hockey question, the answer is almost always Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, so happy 60th today. Andrew Ridgely.
Oh, wow. Wham!
One half of Wham.
Yeah.
George Michael was the other. Andrew Ridgely didn't do a whole lot.
Played
guitar. I don't know if he wrote any of those songs or not.
I don't think so.
I'm not really sure what the story was.
I think he
was.
Went for coffee when George Michael started writing.
Yeah, somebody had to.
You won't cream with that.
I'm not sure if either of those guys wrote their songs or not, but
he added the second go-go.
They were a huge, huge hit. He turns 58 years old today.
A little race car driving.
Really?
A little side action.
Interesting. Had this song blaring in the cockpit as he's tearing down the straightaways.
Really a big pick-me-up.
You have singer Gene Knight, who sang the song Mr. Big Stuff.
Oh, wow.
Mr. Big Stuff. Who do you think you are?
Mr. Big Stuff.
She's 78. And then the last birthday today, there's 8 of them, and they turn 12 years old today. The Suleiman Octuplets,
wow.
Octomom's kids.
Oh, wow.
If you remember her.
I do remember. Loved her so much. God. You would not stop talking about your adoration for Octomom.
That whole story from start to whatever, if we're finished with it, I don't know, was just bizarre. Like, the doctor did that.
The doctor got in trouble, I believe, for the fertility drugs, I think, or at least there were talks about bringing him up on charges about the fertility stuff with her. And it was crazy. And then at the beginning, it seemed as if it was all orchestrated for her to become a celebrity.
And then later on, she did porn.
She did porn, yeah.
If you remember.
Yeah, self-pleasuring
all
porn.
These kids who are going to find it.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Mom.
So they're 12 today. So happy birthday. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. How old was Bilbo when he left the Shire? I will go to Glenn for the answer. Glenn, good morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thank you. Glenn, how old was Bilbo, please?
All right. I want to say this correctly. He was 111 teeth.
111. Yeah, you got it. Bilbo.
Bilbo.
Hang on a second, dude. Glenn is going to get a digital download of the powerful martial arts film Born Champion, starring Sean Patrick Flannery, Katrina Bowden, and Dennis Quaid. Once-in-a-lifetime opportunity knocks twice. Experience the inspirational film about the love for family, the drive for greatness, and the willing to never give up without a fight. It's in select theaters on digital and on demand now, rated R from Lionsgate. There it is. Thank you. All right. Let's get into this. It was 1 year ago today. Kobe Bryant and Gianna Bryant and seven others died in a helicopter crash in Calabasas. Kobe was 41. Gianna was only 13 years old. The Lakers do not have any plans for any large memorials as they don't want to place any further emphasis on what will already be a challenging day for Bryant's family. The family reportedly has asked NBA teams and the league not to hold tributes today.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Instead, the team will reportedly continue to memorialize Kobe in subtle ways, such as by wearing Bryant's signature sneakers and with LeBron James' number 24 finger sleeve. LeBron spoke on Kobe's death, saying, it's a saying that time heals all, and as devastating and as tragic as it was and still is to all of us involved in it, it takes time. Everyone has their own grieving process. So that's interesting that the family asks to just not make a big deal.
Maybe it was enough, you know, like all of the stuff that happened and went on was enough. I
appreciate that. I really do, you know.
I was wondering, I follow her, Vanessa, on Instagram, and she she has been pretty open about stuff. Like, she'll post pictures and letters and how she's feeling and all that kind of stuff. But she was recently posting, and I'm like, wow, she's really stepping it up. I didn't realize it was the year anniversary of it.
Yeah, yeah. So
it seems like it was 10 years ago. It's just crazy.
It does. It definitely does not seem like it was 1 year ago with all this happened between now and then. All right, another one of Armie Hammer's exes is speaking out about his alleged abuse and humiliation of her.
He made me pierce my nipple.
Well, there was piercing involved. So the 22-year-old Paige Lorenz said that she and Hammer, who is 34, dated for 4 months last year, and that, quote, he would cut off underwear or bras and use the knife and put it all over my body. In one incident, he allegedly started to carve the letter A near her vagina.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
So she told Page Six, I kind of sat back and let it happen. I didn't really know what to do or say. As sad as that is, I wanted him to like me and feel like I was down for whatever he wanted. And he also left her with bruises, she said. She said he would always tell me, when he got back from the gym, that he was bragging to his friends about carving an A into me. I've gotten a DM saying Armie had sent me photos of me tied up that I didn't know about. I didn't even know the photos existed or what they look like. I don't know if I was blindfolded. So the college student told the paper that Hammer, quote, built up my trust to ease me into darker things. She said he would compliment me and tell me things that would make me feel on top of the world. She explained the first time we met, he had me call him sir or daddy, and it didn't really alarm me. I was like, this is different, and this could be fun and an adventure, and I like him. And she added, he wanted me to be his sex slave. He was like, you are so trainable. An attorney for Hammer said in a statement, these assertions about Mr. Hammer are patently untrue. Any interactions with this person or any partner of his were completely consensual in that they were fully discussed, agreed upon, and mutually participatory. The stories being perpetuated in the media are a misguided attempt to represent to present a one-sided narrative with the goal of tarnishing Mr. Hammer's reputation, and communications from the individuals involved prove that.
I think that is the line of delineation. If they were both, if she was fully into this and complicit and giving her okay, then that's two kinky people doing stuff. If he was doing this against her will, then that's a whole other story.
What I think happened was it started to head down that territory, and that's why she got out.
Yeah.
So she says, looking back, she says, there were red flags throughout the relationship. I guess I just put them aside to the side, and he made me feel so confident at times. She added, he would talk about it like a traditional BDSM relationship, but it wasn't.
It was more.
She said this was way outside and beyond that.
It's freaky, man.
She says she thinks that Hammer enjoyed hurting women, but used BDSM as a mask for this. He also discussed consuming her. She said, I thought he was kidding.
Yeah.
It didn't register to me. This was something that he was serious about until he brought it up multiple times and seeing other women come out with the same thing. And then I was like, wow, this is really scary. Lorenz got out and is now seeking therapy. She said the tough part of this is that consent is really complicated.
Yes.
Emotionally and psychologically, you can be just as traumatized. It's disgusting that he coerces women into these situations, and it's dangerous. Hammer's ex, Courtney, had previously told Page Six, he said to me he wants to break my rib and barbecue and eat it. And then there were other things. There's a whole other article that I read. It was like a 10-page article about more of this, talking about eating and actually starting to bite and wanting to cut off toes and things like that. And
he wrote a book called
Stuff on Mannequins.
To Serve Man, which everyone thought was an altruistic book about serving humanity.
He did not
do it's that. A cookbook!
I do that.
So are there any charges pending?
No.
In this case? Okay, so it's just allegations.
Not that I know of, yeah. And so these are interviews that are being given, and so that's why his attorneys are speaking out. Now, whether or not he's going to turn it around and hold them liable, I'm not really sure.
I wonder how many times in the world of this level of stuff, in kink or BDSM or all that stuff, how do you, is it a wise dominatrix or submissive that gets paperwork signed so that you, because
maybe.
When you're being whipped or whatever, you know, where does the line fall when you say, nah, that was a little too much of that?
Yeah, agreements have to be made. And then there's you know, safe words and catering.
Yeah.
No, there's safe words and things like that. Now, all that's behind closed doors.
Yes, and that's the problem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I do not know. I have some other stories. We'll go. All right.
How do you top a cannibal?
Well, the one I mentioned, this is not going to top it, but that's why I led with it. But Ellen DeGeneres has struggled to hold on to the ratings following accusations of the unkindness, sexism, and racism on her set. And we discuss that. But now, Kelly Clarkson's show may take over her slot on NBC, according to some sources.
Kathy!
It all depends now. DeGeneres' ratings have slipped 8%, and insiders say the Kelly Clarkson show, which aired after Ellen at 3 p.m., might take over that prime slot when her contract ends. In a year, Kelly has become the most watched new daytime show in 7 years, and it won 3 daytime Emmys last year, including one for Clarkson as Best Entertainment Talk Show. Last month, ratings for Kelly matched those of Ellen for the first time.
I didn't even know it was, like, I've never even seen it. I've never even given it a chance.
I saw a little bit of it at the beginning. And while you have to allow things to work themselves out, I haven't gone back to it. And
it was
I thought it was okay.
No,
I hit the wrong button. There we go.
But it stinks.
It doesn't stink. She's likable. I agree with you 100% person. I caught it right at the beginning when it came on. Being her is what the draw of the show is that she's a likable person.
Yeah.
How long? You stay enamored of Kelly Clarkson. I think that's the key.
The key to me are the interviewing skills.
Yes.
And
the BDSM.
And not just the fun, you know, we're going to play games and stuff like that. It's can you sit down and talk and be a good interviewer? That's where some other people have fallen short. Like if you remember, like Harry Connick Jr. had a show
and
some other ones did, and I didn't like their interviewing skills, you know?
With her, I just thought she was like another celebrity here we go, another artist, another singer who wants to have a talk show, and I never gave it a chance because I thought it's going to go away quickly.
I was watching Octomom's talk show last night, and she said the same thing, Cassie.
Well, listen, I was that way with Rachel Ray's show. I'm like, okay, she's a chef, and she's going to have this show that's not on the Food Network.
Mm-hmm.
No way it's going to last.
Yeah.
These years later, it's still on. She's killing it.
Yeah.
Kathy runs her fan club.
Some money.
No, I told you, after I met her that second time,
she was wonderful.
You can tell some of it. It's just her personality.
Yeah.
Like she was very nice. She's not a bubbly, hug you, affectionate. Hey, let's be best buds. But she is who she is, and she was like very forward about that. And I liked her. I liked when I met her.
Okay. All right. Well, some other things to get to. Keira Knightley has revealed her discomfort in falling under the male gaze while filming intimate scenes. In a conversation during an interview, she said her decision to add a no nudity clause to her contract since becoming a mother was partly due to vanity. She said it's the male gaze. If I was making a story that was about that journey of motherhood and body acceptance, I feel like, I'm sorry, but that would have to be with a female filmmaker.
Does she routinely use body doubles, do we know, Preston?
I don't know. She said, I don't have an absolute ban, but I kind of do with men. I don't want to be those I don't want it to be those horrible sex scenes where you're all greased up and everybody's grunting. I'm not interested in doing that. I feel very uncomfortable now trying to portray the male gaze, saying that there's times when I go, yeah, I completely see where this sex would be really good in this film. And you basically just see somebody to look hot. So therefore, you can use somebody else because I'm too vain and the body has had two children now. And I just rather not stand in front of a group of men naked.
You know, it's funny when you do see stuff that just is sort of resonates as why is this here? And President, what comes to mind is Mindhunter. I love the show. I think it's great.
Yeah. Right.
There were some. Oh, I guess this him going down in the scene is, I guess it's necessary. You know, like it was just it seemed. I get it, and I'm not.
It didn't forward the story much.
Right. And it's like.
It was nice because she was hot.
It's just, it's like.
But what's the point of this?
What was the point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. I know what you mean. Hey, Harry Potter is set for the small screen at HBO Max. That's the word. Execs at Warner Media have been in talks with potential writers, according to reports. The deals are in very early stages. So they're talking about doing a TV show.
Yes.
Essentially, or series. With the Harry Potter background.
HBO Max is home also, I believe, to the Lord of the Rings, projected Lord of the Rings series, is it not?
That, I'm not sure.
I think it might be.
Okay.
I know it's on one of the platforms.
Listen, if they could pull off a Harry Potter series, Nick, you're the biggest Harry Potter fan here. What's your take on this?
I don't think that they needed to do the latest movies. I think that they were just sort of, for lack of a better term, money grabs at this point. But it's such a rich universe that they can certainly find other stories to tell. So I don't mind it. You know, it's like anything in the world, you know, like with Star Wars or Marvel or these platforms or these stories where you can just mine and mine and mine. But sometimes it becomes the law of diminishing returns.
Well, I was tapping out on a lot of the Star Wars stuff, even with the J.J. Abrams, you know, the newer trilogy. Yeah. And then here comes Mandalorian, and I'm like, I'm back on board!
Which is why I'm fine with it. But, like, for me, you know, the Hobbit movies weren't necessary. So, you know, there's so much content out there.
Yeah.
But Harry Potter is a rich universe to, you know, to look for new material.
Put it in the right hands.
The one with Eddie Redmayne, the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah. You know what I didn't like about that? Them coming to America. I didn't think it really.
Yeah.
I got used to that world in England or just at Hogwarts in this mythical kind of place.
Right.
That wasn't really in the real world. And then they took it out of there and went somewhere else, and it kind of turned.
I sort of agree. You're in an area that's familiar to us that makes it less magical. A, and then B, Eddie Redmayne's character, I wanted to slap the crap. Speak up!
Yeah, he was a little wimpy. Yeah. All right, let's see. A source tells People that Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker's romance has gotten her family's approval.
Ooh.
The source says.
Even Mominger?
He's liked her for a long time, and she's got more open to the idea. He's a good guy and a really great dad. Her family and friends really like him. Their kids are all getting along, too, which is sweet. She, of course, shares three children with Scott Disick, and Barker shares three kids with Shanna Mochler. She was a porn star, right?
She was, and that was a very convoluted, drawn-out split.
Yeah.
And, of course, she married the biggest douchebag ever to walk the planet with Scott Disick. So
right.
Their exes are real
man
champs.
Travis Barker's got a long neck.
He does, with lots of tattoos on it. Absolutely.
He has more art on his neck than the Louvre.
Let's see here. Queen and Slim's Jodie Turner-Smith will lead Netflix's six-part limited series called The Witcher Blood Origin.
She was one of the stars of the movie Queen and Slim.
She is a it's a prequel to The Witcher, by the way. You guys watch that at all, The Witcher?
I watched a little bit. It's with Henry Cavill, right?
I don't know.
Yes. Yeah. What I watched, I liked.
Okay, so they're going to do a prequel to that. The series is set in an elven world 1,200 years before the series.
This is Elvis's world, you said?
Elven
world. Oh, I'm sorry.
World.
Man, look at all these fairies, man.
A guy named Elvin.
That's crazy, man. They got all their spells and stuff. They're tiny. I keep smashing into them on my windshield, man.
Jodie Turner-Smith will play an elite warrior with the voice of a goddess.
You're an elite warrior, man, with the voice of a goddess.
Has left her clan.
I got the voice of a king.
And her... and her role as queen guardian to become a nomadic musician.
Oh.
Ooh, maybe she and Elvis could get together.
That's right, man. You take the bass.
Yeah. You take the bass?
Yeah.
Wow. So look for that. I jumped ahead. I didn't mean to get into, you know, the latest.
The Witcher stuff.
Well,
you usually end with that.
Who's working and doing what? I wanted to stick with more personal stories. So let me back up a tick,
if
you don't mind.
You had to back up a tick this morning, didn't you?
We'll cover that in a minute.
You have to talk about that.
We'll cover that in a minute. Gwyneth Paltrow proved once again that she's still besties with her ex, Chris Martin. She hit up Instagram to comment on a throwback video that he put up, and she wrote, "Aw, little baby daddy."
It was cute. He posted a picture of her vag and said,
"Oh, is that right?
This is where the candles came from."
Wow. So that was the nice thing.
That is a very encouraging relationship.
Yeah.
That they are managing to stay amiable.
Yep.
And that's sakaiable.
And sakaiable as well. Do you remember, so for some reason, the Goop thing is all about her vagina. And
well, the Goop candle is the, yeah.
Well, also, if you recall, a few months ago, they had like this Goop photo shoot, and they had this huge wall of flowers that were in the shape of a vagina. Do you remember
that? I did see that, yes.
That my buddy did that wall.
No kidding.
Yeah. So, my buddy who's a florist in L.A. Yeah.
Gwynny's request?
At Gwynny's request. Yeah, he's the one who did the vagina wall.
Can he get us Gwynny's number?
Yeah, no.
Nice.
Listen, we've heard about that guy for years now.
Right.
Is it high time we actually talk to him?
Want to do an interview with Matt Herron?
Yeah.
Okay.
Longtime buddy of yours, big time florist in Hollywood, works with the who's who.
Went out to be an actor.
LA,
Didn't work out, became a florist.
It's crazy because like we were all into like 90210 when we were in high school and stuff like that. And
you
were
the Luke Perry.
And now he's like friends with Tiffany Thiessen.
Oh, man.
I'm like, come on.
Who was the person we interviewed recently who knew him?
That was the dude from SNL.
Oh, Bobby Moynihan.
Bobby Moynihan.
Yes. That's right.
They hung together in college.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe we talk to him sometime soon. We should do a segment called Casey's Friends.
Yes.
And we'll just talk to all your buddies.
Oh, we'll talk to my buddy Jeff about how much he loves Howie Long.
We could do
CEO of the Running Away Club.
Yes. Well, that's me.
Possibilities are endless. You were the CEO.
Did you end up?
Who was the president?
I was the founder, CEO, and president.
Oh, okay.
I didn't realize that.
No,
Did you know he had all those executive positions
That's
on the Running Away Club?
Yeah.
Actually, I was the mole, to tell you the truth. I was the rat.
Loved that show.
Yeah.
Anderson Cooper.
Yeah.
Anderson Cooper.
I loved Anderson Cooper, and so I watched it, and I was like, oh, I really like this show, and then it went off the air.
You remember that Walter Cronkite hosted Beat the Clock for a while?
No, if you, I
What?
I was thinking of Anderson
Cooper hosting a mole game show. Okay. He was good, though.
Walter Cronkite, huh?
I was thinking of the Pinecone Collectors Club. That's the one. Oh. Running Away Club.
I was thinking of the Pinecone Collectors Club.
Wow.
I have so many pine cones. I don't know what to do.
Jesus.
I go on a journey.
And we're back in the Shire.
Let's just get back
All things lead back to the Shire, which is comforting in a way.
I have one more story.
About the Shire?
Then we're moving on. It's about Miley Cyrus. She announced on Instagram she will be performing at the Super Bowl, their upcoming TikTok tailgate. So she's not in the halftime show.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I'll be there for TikTok's tailgate. I can't wait to put on a show for the NFL's honored guests before the game. Healthcare workers from Tampa and around the country. Join the tailgate at 2:30 p.m. February 7th on TikTok and at CBS TV.
Do you see what she's going to do? It's pretty wild. She's going to go, the stadium that they're playing in, she's going to go around and chew all the gum that's under the seats.
The event, which will be held on February 7th, just before the Buccaneers and Chiefs face off, will gather more than 7,500 healthcare workers who have already received both shots of the coronavirus vaccine to watch Cyrus's sure-to-be-exciting performance. Of the new event, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said in a statement, these dedicated healthcare workers continue to put their own lives at risk to serve others, and we owe them our ongoing gratitude. We hope in a small way that this initiative will inspire our country and recognize these true American heroes. This is also an opportunity to promote the importance of vaccination and appropriate healthcare practices, including wearing masks in public settings.
So they were giving Miley Cyrus her shot and her antibiotics, which they administer with a fire hose.
Oh.
Because she's got a lot of stuff going on in there.
Several other artists are helping celebrate the Super Bowl this year, which will have a limited in-person capacity due to social distancing measures. Jasmine Sullivan and Eric Church will perform the national anthem. While, is it pronounced her or H-E-R? It's H period, E period, R period. So I'm just saying her. She's singing a rendition of America the Beautiful. I think this is the first time that I don't know any of those people. singing the national anthem and American Beauty. I don't know.
You do know the halftime act. Is it Eric Church?
I know that. Yeah. But
Eric Church is a country singer, but he's got a lot of rock flair. He wears sunglasses, and he's not bad.
Jasmine Sullivan, Eric Church, and her, I don't know him. I don't know him.
You don't need to know him.
Look, you're kind of mad you don't know him.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's like...
He is an entertainment reporter for the number one show in Philadelphia. You don't think that they should reach out to him and let them know who they are?
No, it's not that. It's just that, I don't know. They used to have the greats. They used to have the best of the best do that. Mm-hmm. And even if you are somewhat clueless of the music industry, you at least know...
Who they are.
Knew who Whitney Houston was. You know, you knew who, you know, there's tons of biggies that they've had over the years, Aretha Franklin or whoever it may
Justin
be.
Preston,
it's not important that you know who everyone is.
I don't know. I think it's kind of, it's cheapened now. So, but anyway, that's me. That's me being the old dude. I had a birthday yesterday. I'm a year older, so now I'm cantankerous.
It's important that you speak from the heart.
Thank you.
Which you always do.
I try to. Thank you, Gandalf. The Weeknd is set as the headline of the halftime show. Now, I know who he is.
The actual 48 hours of time.
Yeah, that will be.
Oh, you don't include Friday?
No. Though I do love Friday. It's my favorite part of the weekend, but I think technically Saturday and Sunday.
I agree. Sunday's kind of a cop-out.
Sunday sucks.
And the Weeknd, listen, we know who the Weeknd is, but he's... Has he only had like one, maybe two hit albums?
He's talented. Yeah. I think he's talented.
He's had some hits, but he hasn't had years, strings of great music. And therein, again, you know, seems to be a bit of a copping out. Or maybe they're running out of people. You know what I mean?
There's no two chains.
They might be running out of people.
I do think he's talented. He seems to think that he's at a higher level.
Well, he thought he got snubbed at the Grammys. Right. Remember, he made a big deal about that. So. Yeah. Anyway.
Ah, hell.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second.
What?
All right. Her is how you pronounce her name. H-E-R. It is pronounced her.
You got it right.
An acronym for having everything revealed.
Ooh. Shut up, man.
And her name is Gabriela Sarmiento Wilson. That is her actual name. All right. We're on to the
Maybe she's related to Wilson's Secret Sauce.
Oh, maybe.
Great brisket.
They wished me a happy birthday yesterday.
Good day.
Yes, they tweeted that out. Thank you, guys. All right, Mixed Dish, the prequel to Black-ish, is returning for its second season. And in this clip, young star Michael Michelle Harris explains the similarities that she shares. Or maybe it's Michal, M-Y-K-A-L.
I would say Michal. Didn't we have an intern named Michal?
We did. And she shares with her character. So this is the similarities. Here we go.
You know, we both love our family. We both are absolute leaders. Like, if there's a challenge, Santa Monica is going to lead forever and ever. I do the same as well. And I think we're both very mature for our age.
She is very young.
Yeah.
She is a little girl. We're looking at a picture of her, and she sounds like an old soul.
She does, yeah.
Mixed Dish Season 2 premieres tonight, 9:30. That's on ABC. Here's the next clip. In 1939, archaeologists unearthed an Anglo-Saxon burial site which changed humanity's way of thinking about the Dark Ages. And here, Lily James, who plays real-life archaeologist Peggy Preston, discusses the importance of the true events in The Dig.
Yeah, because it completely redefined how we thought of that time, of the Anglo-Saxon time, from feeling like it was this Dark Ages primitive, you know. And then beyond that, the fact that they got it just in the nick of time, you know, the war was just... like days away from starting, and so had they have not found it exactly when they did, we'd never have found this treasure and wouldn't know what we did about that time.
The Dig is available on Netflix this Friday. All right, there you go. That's what I have in the entertainment report. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to get back. Let's get you some money. No sad dough. It's happening a couple times this morning, 7 times throughout the day. Don't miss it. First time at 8, and it's also a Tattoos Day.
Yay!
Text the word tattoo to 39333 because you just might win a $350 gift certificate to Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. We'll be back in a moment.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
AC/DC. Royal Blood. Deftones.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
One of the benefits of waking up at 3:50 a.m. to go to work is that you don't have to contend with traffic, and you have pretty short drive-ins. You know, this is one of the things you avoid all these people out on the road. It takes me about
35 minutes to get to work. Today it took over 2 hours. And there was no traffic at all. None of it. And that is because when I got here to the studio and got out of my car and walked up to the doors here at One Ballot Plaza and was about to use my key card to open the door, I realized, oh, I left my briefcase in the car. Let me go back to it. I don't know why. I just got out of the car. Just whatever. Yeah. I didn't bring it with me.
You're just distracted.
I go back in. It's not in the car. I left it at home.
Oh, man.
And everything that I need to put on the show is in that briefcase. All the Bizarre File, the Connoisseur, the junk drawer, all everything
you
all
need.
The work that I do is in that briefcase. I left it at home. It's about a 35-minute drive to get to my house. It took me over 2 hours total because I had to drive back home and get it, which I'm glad I get to work as early as I do because otherwise I wouldn't have the opportunity to do that. So I called Steve. I didn't even come inside. I couldn't come inside. I didn't have my keys.
Well, yeah.
So I called him from the car, and I debated. I walked back to the car, and I saw that I didn't have it. And then I start walking back to the building, and then I'm like, no.
You got to go
back and get it. And I start walking back to the car. I get in the car. I did this little dance going back and forth between the car. Oh, yeah. And then I get in it, and then I called you, and I'm like, I'm here.
And I saw a message.
But I'm going home.
Pop up in that cold drink. You were sitting in the parking lot. You'd obviously come to your conclusion, mm-hmm. I'm going home. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I've been there. Now, I live 10 minutes from the house. But I've done the same thing where you come, and I'm there, and I don't have the keys. And mm-hmm. I'm like, do I want to be asking people all day for their keys?
Mm-hmm.
to get in and out. And so I went home to do that. That's just 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You added on another hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
I wouldn't mind asking people for my keys, but we just couldn't do the show.
So
I couldn't do the show.
How far away?
It's about 35 minutes.
35 minutes.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about it because I was sitting in the office. Steve told me, so I was sitting in the office, and I'm like, what would we have done? Like, why did he have to go home? And then I just thought there's, like, no segment. I mean, we could get through it.
Yeah, we could have done it.
But even Bizarre File, Music News, like, you had nothing.
Uh-huh.
I was thinking, I'm like, we all could have, if we all grabbed like a story each for Bizarre File, for Connoisseur, for Music News, like if everyone grabbed one story and gave it to you, then we would have been okay.
But I keep stacks of stuff.
I know,
When the news is light, I have backup stories that I can go to and find some things that we can talk about. And I didn't have any of it. None
also,
of it. Zero.
You feel more. You just feel better having your stuff.
Totally.
Yeah.
I've forgotten my laptop. I don't take my laptop home anymore because I have forgotten it a number of times. And just to use a different computer, because I use an Apple, and to use like a desktop or whatever, a PC, it's like you can do it, but it just
you don't like it.
It throws everything off.
Right.
So what was the amount of time, Preston, where you actually sat in the parking lot thinking, do I have to go home?
I spent not that long, like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, I went back. I did this little dog in the middle of the street thing.
Yeah.
Running around.
What do I do? What do I do? Because time's ticking now. Because you're losing your window.
You have to come to that decision, and you're like, all right, the pros and the cons, and you're weighing them. You're like, fine, F it. I'll drive home. Yep. I rented an RV last summer, and there was a period of time where I had to go back and forth. The RV rental place is called Fretz RV. It's out by Satterton, actually not too far from you, Preston. So I have to go up the turnpike from where I live in Villanova, and I was taking it back and forth from my house more than once. And one of the times where I took it back up to my back to the RV center, I had forgotten my keys at home in order to get my car, which was parked at the RV center, back to my house. So I'm sitting there in the parking lot thinking, do I have to drive home, or can I find somebody to bring my keys to me? Did you think at some point Rochelle could?
I'm like, that's a dick move. It was my fault,
exactly.
And I'm not going to make her do that. You
it
know
was
what
your
I mean?
Birthday yesterday,
and it was my birthday.
Yeah, yeah. Birthday anymore.
And they did enough for me. Yeah, it's not my birthday's officially over. So, by the way, I got this text. I do want to answer this question because it says, why couldn't you just do your work online, have it printed for you in the morning? Because when I have all these stories are filled with all kinds of information that is not necessary.
Useless.
To convey just basically the idea of what's going on. There are lots of details, like,
The Friday Morning Gazette said that, you know, and I'll leave certain words out. And so I edited them out, like, you know, and the arresting officer, you know, Sergeant J, blah, 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 so-and-so stated in the report that blah, blah, blah. I leave that stuff out.
You prep it.
I prep it. I work on it. I don't, you know, rip and read, as they used to call it back in the day. So there is some work that has to be done on it.
I mean, I have literally not even left my neighborhood. And I'm like, oh, it's just too far to go back right now.
I'll do that if it's something minor. If it's like, you know, I left my lunch or whatever, and I'll get some out of the vending machine or whatever, you know.
How far do you have to go without your phone before you turn around?
If I get out of the neighborhood, then forget it.
Forget it?
I can deal without it.
Okay.
Yeah. And in fact, that's kind of freeing when that happens.
Yes.
When I forget the phone and have to live the rest of the day without it. I'm like, okay. All right. I'm throwing caution to the wind. We'll see what happens here.
Mine is skewed by my proximity. So okay. I will go back.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, it's close. 35, 40 minutes? Nah, forget it.
But here's what I'm curious about. Maybe, because you know there are people who have gotten on a plane, landed in a destination, and realized that they left the thing that they needed at home. And what am I going to do now? Do you get somebody to, whatever that is, grab it and overnight it to you the next day? Is it that important? So I'd love to hear stories. It's 215-263-WMMR.
All right. It's not that far, but considering the frame of mind that I was in, I was going to a Phish concert in Atlantic City. So my friend and I, we were across, it was at Boardwalk Hall. We were all the way over at Harrah's.
Yeah.
And we had to get in a taxi. We had to traverse the casino floor. We had to do all this stuff in an altered state. We had gotten all the way through the cattle chute of thousands of people up to the point where you hand your ticket to the people before I realized that I left the tickets in the hotel room. And so we had no choice. We wanted to go to this concert.
Yeah.
But like the one thing. I mean, I swear to God, Steve, when we first got off the elevator and the casino opened, it was like Willy Wonka. It was like this wonderland. Right. I was like, oh my God, I don't know if I can walk through this.
This is a great time we're going to see Phish. This is only the 480th time I've seen it.
Then we get to a taxi and left for a half hour in the taxi. I mean, it was just such an adventure. And then we go, oh, we got to go back to the room. And we have to do this all over again.
It just feels like such a waste.
It is a waste.
And then on the return, Preston, as you're driving back now, like you're driving back to your home, it's like, this is, I don't see the sky this way normally at this time. Now traffic's going to start to build on the return, and it's all that crap. It's like,
Casey, did anybody say, man, I can't do it. I can't go through that again, man.
It was just me and
just
one person.
I'm lay down here for a few minutes.
Oh, my God. Let me see here. I'm going to go to, let me go to Bobby. Bobby, good morning.
Morning, it.
Hey, morning, Bobby. What's morning, happening, it. Bud?
Bobby!
Go ahead.
2 years ago, me and my wife, we went to Chicago. You know, good vacation. We get on the plane, and she goes, do you have my purse? I'm like, no, why would I have it? So we're leaving Chicago to come back home to Philly. She brought her purse. It has everything we need to get back home. Keys for the car, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, are you kidding me? We're getting ready to take off. Luckily, we were able to make a phone call and at least cancel the credit cards and have somebody meet us at the airport so we had the keys for the car. But,
that one
kind of sucked.
Well, you were able to hedge it off. You didn't have to do anything other than just cancel some cards and do that. That does freak you out. Like, are you the kind, like Preston, are you the kind of person who the second you can't find your card, okay, I got to get on the phone and start canceling them? I got to.
No. Rochelle definitely is.
Okay.
She'll take care of it right away. So, but I'm concerned. I'm like, I will start looking and see if we can, you know, track it down. But no, I don't freak out quite that bad. Let me see. Let me go to, I have Mike. Hi, Mike. Good morning.
This is Eric.
Oh, I got the wrong call. All right, Eric, go ahead, bud. You're on the air.
First of all, can we forget about the moose for a moment?
Forget about the moose.
We haven't heard from the moose.
Why don't you forget the moose?
What's
for
up, Eric?
Eric.
So I went to spring training. training, I guess, 2 years ago, because the pandemic shut it down last year, and I left a piece of my sleep apnea machine at home, the piece that connects the mask to the tube.
Yeah.
So I had to search Clearwater the day I got there, pretty much all day. I skipped the game because I had to find the piece for the sleep apnea machine so I could sleep for the rest of the week.
So you skip the game, the reason you go, to just find this piece. That's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it was rough. It was an
I tell you what, like, there's times where you don't have something and you can find a replacement. You know, but I mean, there's no other option but to physically track back across distance you've already covered. That's what you had to do. There was no way you weren't going to get it FedEx to you. You weren't going to get someone to deliver. You could have, but it would have been a great imposition.
Hey, this is interesting. This is the call I meant to go to. Let me go to Mike. Hey, Mike, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. You guys are awesome.
Thanks, dude. Appreciate it. So you're an Uber driver, it says here.
Yes. Many moons ago, when I was doing the Uber driver thing, I was out in the, Narberth area dropping somebody off, and I get the request for a long trip. And before I even finish dropping my first passenger off, I'm getting a phone call from the new guy. And he said, all right, here's the situation. I'm like, oh, God, what did I just get into? Okay, what do you got, chief? And he goes, I'm in New York. I said, okay, but my passports aren't. I'm about to get on a flight to go on a 2-week international business trip. I really need passports. So what I need you to do is go to my house, pick up my passports from my housekeeper, and bring them to me in New York.
He turns you into a courier.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically, he ended up spending like $220 total for me to drive two documents.
By the way,
think about it.
Well, hang on real quick, Mike. What's Uber's policy on that, or is there? Can you do that?
I mean, there was no real policy to it. It's the passports were the passenger.
Okay.
You know, the guy needed. I mean, I've had people before Uber Eats was even a thing. I had people who would order dinner from restaurants, and I would bring it into Center City for them because that's like the restaurant that they trust because they're business travelers.
Right. Right.
So the resources. I mean, why the hell not? And then I had a great trip to New York. And stopped over, grabbed a slice, and then went home.
What's the story as far as distance you can cover? Could someone hop in and say, "Take me to Miami," and you could do that?
Well, I would have done it.
Wow. Okay. So this guy had you run to his house, and I assume somebody was there to give you the passports.
Oh yeah, the housekeeper was there, and she was a live-in housekeeper. She answered the door. She had tank top, no bra, capris, and wool socks.
Wow!
Well,
this is my house now. The boss is gone.
I had never considered that as Uber as a last ditch. Resource to use for getting what you need. Because if you're all the way, it wouldn't make sense. You don't have time to drive all the way back down here and all the way back.
Right, right.
To get it. You need a one-way trip, so that's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Wasn't bad at all. If you got the funds to support it, doesn't hurt either.
Yep. All right, thanks, Mike. Appreciate it,
man. Thank you. No problem.
I don't think I was thinking about that for my briefcase.
He sent an Uber driver.
Hey, hon, I'm sending an Uber over to the house. Let me go to, let's see, Bob. Hey, Bob, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Bob!
So me and my buddy had season tickets for our West Virginia football 1 year, about 5 years ago. And he's driving up from Bethesda, Maryland to my house in like the Langhorne area. And I go, man, I hope you got your ticket. And he gets about halfway up to 95. He's like, yeah, I actually forgot my ticket.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Oh!
I don't know why we even split them to begin with, but he ended up driving all the way up. We got in my truck, drove back down to his house for the night, drove out to West Virginia, and went out there the next morning. Then we had to go back to the Eagles game for the following day.
Wow.
That's clocking some serious miles.
So that was what, an extra 3 hours away?
About extra 3 hours from Bethesda.
Oh, God.
And there's nothing like that useless trip when you're having to just correct a problem, and the time seems to go on extra long.
Yep.
Because you've already traversed it.
Hang on a second here. This guy says, we drove from New Jersey to Disney World, and at a rest area in Georgia, there was a guy that dropped his keys in the sewer drain and asked for a ride. My dad made him lay flat in the bed of the truck.
Oh, my God.
To drive him to the next exit to his friend's house.
Oh, my God.
We had to drive 2.5 hours home, 2.5 hours back. Was that the same one? No, that's a different one. Sorry.
Jeez.
Let's see. So, yeah, mine was just, listen, I could have just come in and maybe skated through, but...
You would have hated it.
Yep.
And once you make the decision, like, you just have to, you know, get yourself in the right mindset. That's it. I'm going home. I'm going to spend another 35 minutes to get there.
Right.
I'm going to pick up what I need in a matter of 60 seconds, and then I'm going to spend 35 minutes back in the car going back to work.
I'm wasting time. I'm not getting to do show prep. Everything that I wanted to do is now off the table.
Oh, yeah.
I'm now going to have to hate myself for the next hour and a half, and this is what I'm going to do this morning.
And I tried to... not stew in it, you know what I mean?
And just
forget. How did you fight that?
You make the decision. Well, this is just
this is the hand I've been dealt, and whatever, man. Rest of the day, I'll play catch up if I can.
And you know what I've done too when I'm in a situation like that, I used to drive like a lunatic and go 900 miles an hour to get where I was going. It's obviously dangerous, so I just tell myself that's it. You're going to be late. Just accept that. And so, you know, I accept that instead of trying to get there, 2 minutes earlier, you know, if you were to drive faster. So I just, just relax and accept it.
Yeah, I've kind of trained myself to do that as well. I forgot where I was going. I got lost somewhere. I made a wrong turn or whatever. This is well before Waze existed. And it put me like a half hour late for something important that I needed to be at. And I'm like, there's nothing you can do about that now. And if you just sit here and get mad, it's not going to help. And don't try to kill yourself getting there as well. And listen, all was forgiven and it was cool. And you just got to deal with the bed that you've made. You got to lay in it for a while. Let me go to Brad. Hey, Brad, good morning.
Hey, morning. You guys rock.
Hey, thanks, man. What's up, Brad?
Hey, so a couple years back, I was working for a company that would send me like all over the country for IT like training. And one trip when I was going to Colorado, I left my work laptop with all the information I needed to present on it. So call my work, let them know what the situation is. They say, listen, you got to get that laptop or, you know, you're going to get terminated. End up having my girlfriend send it to me overnight via FedEx. It gets to me the next day before I have to go in. I'm like, all right, great. Open up the package. It got smashed in transit.
Oh, no.
And then I got fired.
Oh, yeah.
That sucks.
It was your negligence that led to that.
Yeah, listen, it was on me. But
you should have blamed someone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sucks, man.
Freaking FedEx. Jesus.
All because you forgot it.
There are more options, obviously, than there used to be with that, with getting something there overnight or courier services or so on and so forth. That I'm pretty inventive on doing that. But again, there's... You know, sometimes you're just, your back is up against the wall and you just have to physically go do it yourself.
Yep. I'm going to go to Doug next. Good morning, Doug.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, bud?
Great story. We were 13 going on 14, 1976, and my mom drives us to our first concert. Yes, Peter Frampton, Gary Wright.
Wow.
The Posthead Dark Band and the Mummers, if you can believe that.
So, the Mummers in concert?
Opening for Frampton?
Okay.
The Mummers, yes. They were the first ones. They got booed off the stage. So the next band, the Posthead Dark Band, got booed. Yeah, it's Philadelphia.
Yeah.
They got booed off the stage. But JFK, 150,000 people. One of my best friends forgets his ticket. My mom drives us down in the old station wagon. He has to go back on the subway back to Yaden, where we grew up, to get his ticket. And, he made it back, and we actually re-hooked up with him. We ended up on the field where we saw my sister sitting, and we went and sat with her. And he actually managed to make it back and find us at the concert.
Wow.
Oh, so it worked out. Yeah. You're fine. Yeah.
Good story.
And then I made love to my sister, and she got her pregnant, and I had to hunt him down.
All right. Thank you, Doug.
I had a little more spice to the story.
Yeah. Sometimes, though, you if you do leave something behind, then there's that scenario, well, we just have to buy a new one.
Yes.
You know, whatever. If it's something that's absolutely, you know, like tickets where you have to have those in order to get where you're going. But you get to the destination, you realize you left.
We're just buying a new one.
An expensive, a video camera, whatever it may be before you had video cameras in your phone or, you know, in your pocket.
Right, yeah.
And then you'd have to buy.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we got to buy a new one. That does happen. But at least you can salvage that. You're just kind of screwed out of some money, you know. But sometimes it's something vital like this. We're going to go to Kelly. Hi, Kelly. Good morning.
Hey, you guys rock.
Thank you, Kelly. What's up?
So my husband planned a backpacking trip a few years ago in the Great Smoky Mountains.
Uh-huh.
And we're all excited, got packed up. We each packed up our backpacks. And we're about 4 miles into the hike. It's the heat of summer. And we're out of water, so we go to take the water pump out, and neither of us brought it.
Oh God.
So that's for, your water pump is for clean water?
Yeah, so basically you can pump water into your water bottles from, like, any kind of stream, and it takes all the bacteria.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah. So we ended up having to basically hike out and on no water, and it ended up being a very expensive trip because we had to find a hotel stay because we were planning on camping.
Oh, man. So you had to completely change.
Yeah. You weren't prepared to just drink out of the creek? No problem.
I don't think I would chance it. But, I mean, we made the best of it. It ended up being a good trip. But
that's a bitch. Yeah, if you're camping and you're going in deep and you're bringing all your stuff and you forget something, that's it.
Thanks, Santa brought me one of those. Is it a life straw or something like that this year?
Yeah.
I'm like, nervous about trying to use it. You know what I mean?
They do work.
Okay.
We tried it on the air here. Remember, because I have a couple in my drawer right
here. Yeah.
But the notion of putting a straw down to a creek. Drinking, you can. That's what they're for.
I'm a scared.
Yeah.
You guys ever, now what she had said about all of a sudden they have to find a hotel, have you ever made a trip plan without plans? I mean, like just go somewhere and we'll get a room or whatever. And had that go sour on you?
So I had a room. I had plans and got there and it was a dump. Like, I think that the hotel was shut down.
Yeah.
And somebody, like, squatters had gone in and tried to run it as their own. I'm not kidding you. Oh, it was horrendous. It was absolutely ridiculous. So we had nowhere to stay and we had to drive around and find a place to stay. And we were in Disney. So it was like, you know, it was crowded time. It was packed. You can't just walk into a hotel in Disney and be like, do you have a room available?
Right,
sure.
Right.
And whatever is available is $3,000 or something, you know, one of the really exclusive, expensive places.
And look, special rates for piercings.
You guys know me. Like, I like to be organized, set, ready to go. Like, I have everything in place. If something goes wrong, I'm usually not, don't take it well. So, I mean, I was eventually able to find something. We stayed in a hotel that was a big pineapple. That's all I remember about
it. A big pineapple?
Yeah, so it worked out.
Was it SpongeBob's place or what?
No, it was not. It just has a giant pineapple. It's still there. Okay. I forget the name of it.
Marissa?
Matt and I went to Cuba and we only had hotel rooms for the first night and the last night.
Dude, that's insane.
And it got us one night. So we went from Havana and what we didn't know was like, Cuban time is not like American time. Like, in America, you can get anywhere you need or want to go at any point. What we didn't know is in Cuba, there's only so many cars that are, like, leaving one town and going back to Havana or to other things. So we ended up spending a lot of money and rode in a really crappy car with some guy who was, like, driving home and stopped on roadside to, like, pick up jelly and all these, like, very weird things.
Jelly.
How are you still alive?
Yeah, I know, right?
You know, and Cuban jelly is famous.
Literally, Steve, I have to find a photo. People just stand on the side of the road with, like, cheese and jelly, and they just cut off a slice and, like, hand it to you. It was the weirdest.
So what about your accommodations? How did you, where did you end up staying?
So we had traveled. Matt had never stayed at an all-inclusive resort before, so we ended up traveling to the coast, and we were there for, like, 2 days, and then I think he realized, like, it's not really a town per se, so we wanted to get out of there, but we couldn't get out of there. So we were trying to talk to the concierge and, like, find our way back to this other town we wanted to go to called Vinales, I think it was called. Whatever happened is we ended up, like, getting in a car with one guy, then he drove to his house. He picked up his dad because this ride that we were going to take was about 6 hours and the guy was scared he was going to fall asleep. Then when we got to the next town, you don't actually have accommodations. You just knock on people's doors and do Airbnbs and see if they have a hotel room.
Now, okay. When you're planning this trip to Cuba, why would you leave any dates open that you didn't have a place to stay and willingly go there?
Because there was not a we couldn't do a lot of research of where to stay or what to do in Cuba.
Then stay in the same place.
Yeah. Well, but that's what they didn't want to do. They wanted to travel through and see different
parts.
Wow,
great. That's nice that you want to do that. You're going to a communist country that they barely allow Americans to even travel to.
Yeah.
And let's just wing it.
We can do it.
We want to see it. Let's go out to the coast. Have a good time.
Yeah.
Come on,
Marissa's sitting in the car like Pacino and Godfather 2.
Best trip of my life.
Yeah, okay.
Well,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, of course.
I would know.
There was only one point when we were at the resort where I was like, well, what if we just, like, sleep on the beach? It's, like, 8 o'clock. We have our bags. We'll just sleep on the beach, and we'll be up by, like, 5, 6 o'clock, and then we'll just go for the next day.
Right. Yeah, we'll just, I mean, that's a ballsy move.
I wonder if you could have gotten in trouble for that there.
Yeah, I figured because it was a resort, like somebody probably was doing laps and like would have shooed us and we'd have to keep moving.
Yeah.
That's where I realized where Matt is not as like a fly by the seat of his pants as I am.
Could you imagine knocking on doors? Can I stay with you?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And
first, like, do you speak English?
Well,
and so can we stay here?
We had to have our driver knock on people's doors and ask them because it was also like 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and everybody only spoke Spanish.
You're out of your mind.
Wow.
I had family members I was in Ireland, and they were coming over to visit us. My uncle lived there, so I went first to visit him, and then other family members were coming over and meeting us there. I had set up a place to stay. They did not. My uncle said, you can just come and stay at a bed and breakfast, which ended up working out, but that's essentially what they did. They drove down a road from Galway to, I forget where they were going, Donegal maybe, I forget. And they basically stopped, knocked on doors, do you have any rooms available? Went to the next one, do you have any rooms available? I mean, this is like, you know,
Jesus.
They're a little bit older.
Yeah, yeah.
And the greatest part of this was they knocked on a door, said, do you have rooms available? This place had a room available. They walked in. And my other family members who had already gotten there were at the same place.
Oh, that's funny.
No way.
Just driving down the road, knocking on doors.
When I was in college.
That's not the way I would travel.
No.
There was a guy who was riding his bike from Georgia to Maine and stopped at our fraternity house. He was like, can I sleep in your common room?
Really?
Yes. And we let him.
Yeah. Was he a fraternity brother?
No, we didn't know who this guy was.
Convicted felon.
Well, he could have been Steve for all we know. I mean, this is 1995, 96, something like that. You know, the internet wasn't.
Dub the Can I Stay With You killer.
But, I mean, we hung with the guy for a little bit, but we all, you know, normally you don't lock your doors when you're sleeping. We all locked our doors that night.
Of course.
I just realized where I got it from. It's from my dad, because when my dad and I decided on a whim to go to the Super Bowl in Jacksonville, we had no hotel room. We had no Super Bowl tickets. We just had a plane ticket. And we ended up in Gainesville was the closest hotel we could find.
I'm a bit of a free spirit, but Nick, your dad used to room with the Manson family.
That's right.
Yeah. He also, I mean, he hitchhiked across the country, and, you know, he's led a life of adventure, but that was also the 60s.
Have you inherited any of that?
Oh,
sure. Would you go?
Yeah, I've gone on trips without booking places, in advance.
No.
But but you have a bit of a backup. I wouldn't do what Marissa did. I think that's either incredibly adventurous or a great recipe for getting
murdered. You would go to North Korea and, like, knock on doors?
Now, I wouldn't mind doing that solo.
Yeah.
By myself. But if
I'm with the family?
Family, no. It's impossible. No.
Yeah, these are my kids. This is my wife.
Right. No. You might have.
And can you feed us?
Yeah. God. Do you have any porn, too?
Yeah.
I left my bag at home.
Yeah. Wow. All right.
Jesus.
Well, and that's indeed what I did do this morning. I left my bag with all my prep, all the things I had ready to go for today's show. I left it at home. Didn't realize until I walked up to the door here to come into the building today. And I'm like, all right. And it's 35 minutes away. I barely enough time to get home and get back, but I did it.
You have porn in that bag for crying out
loud. Come on. I got porn in there. My kids could have been rummaging through that for all I knew. All right.
1977.
Anyhow, thank you for sharing the stories. We do appreciate it. We do have some stuff to get to. It's why I want to break now, because we are about 10 minutes away from your chance to win $500 for the first time today. One out of seven, mind you.
Yeah.
With no sad dose, it will break, and we will come back with that, the bizarre file, which I have in my briefcase.
Ooh.
I will share with you in a moment. Stay with us.
Grab the free MMR app for your phone. You can stream us live, get on-demand audio and video, and we can even send you alerts on really important stuff. Plus, it's Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible. The MMR app, making your smartphone a little dumber.
A little bit later on, Dr. Kenneth Lacavar is going to be joining us, the official paleontologist
of the Preston and Steve Show.
Very prestigious.
He is a professor at Rowan University, and it's all things dinosaurs and of that time. And there have been some discoveries lately. And
some major things.
We haven't talked to him in a while, and so we'll catch up with him. It's fascinating stuff in the world of science. So we had that on the way, but right now we have this.
93.3 WMMR presents... No Sector!
All right, I got a word for you, and this word is worth $500. It just might win you that cash. So here's the deal. The key word is check. C-H-E-C-K. You have until 15 minutes after the hour to enter it. Three ways to do that. Via text to the special contest short code number, which is 45911, or to be entered for the $10,000 grand prize as well. You enter it via the MMR app or at WMMR.com. The word check. One random entry wins $500 in our company-wide contest, and that person's going to get a call from Beasley. So be sure to answer your phone. Contest rules are available at WMMR.com. It is sponsored by Steak'em. Once again, listen closely. The word is check, C-H-E-C-K. Good luck to you.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre Final.
Brought to you this morning by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. You can download the DraftKings app and use the code ROCK to get in on the action. We'll start with a story out of Malawi. Memes have apparently gone viral on social media in relation to an incident that happened there a few days ago. A 35-year-old man died while having sex with a sex worker, and the postmortem report revealed the death was caused by, and this is what it says.
Oh, boy.
Extreme orgasm.
Extreme orgasm.
That's according to the postmortem report.
Who wants to go out having an extreme orgasm? Hands, please.
Me. Malawians on social media started throwing jokes on the matter, with most saying that they are looking for answers as regards to what led to the climax of sexual excitement. That's it. Others claim that the deceased took orgasm-stimulating substances before the act.
Which would be what? And right. Where can I get them? And does Rite Aid have them?
It doesn't say, but the incident has made several people conclude that the district where this happened, the Falambi district, has women that are skilled in bed. Apparently, they'll kill ya.
Where is Falambi, and how often do flights leave for?
Falambi is in Malawi. That's okay. All that I know.
Falambi in Malawi.
That's it, man. A Brisbane woman had just sat down to enjoy her morning coffee when she looked up and discovered a man defecating in her neighbor's backyard.
Hi, buddy.
The stranger, seen squatting down to do his business alongside a fence in the trendy inner city suburb of New Farm, is where this had taken place. It's in Australia. Holly McIntyre could barely believe her eyes and quickly pulled out her phone to catch the man during the dirty act.
Was he crapping on his own yard?
No, his neighbor's yard.
Oh, his neighbor's yard, okay.
But he was crapping on this woman's neighbor's yard, but it wasn't his own yard.
Okay.
She said, "I've only lived here for a month. It was not the welcome I was expecting." He saw me when he walked away, but didn't seem fazed by me, and I don't think this is his first public poop.
It's not an Australian tradition?
Ms. McIntyre, not that I know of,
to the neighborhood.
Shared the video of the number two on the New Farm Community Facebook page detailing the extent of the man's deed.
It's a cocky duty.
And noted that he had even brought his own toilet paper with him.
He's not a savage.
Right. She says, seems he was prepared for this. And the incident follows on the form of the infamous poo jogger who was exposed by Brisbane residents just a year ago. Andrew McIntosh was charged with creating public nuisance after neighbors banded together to catch the man they believed had fouled their property up to 30 times in a year.
30 times?
Yeah, so he was doing it regularly. Speaking of poop, this story's out of Charlottesville, PA.
It's perfect.
Our favorite named cities. But nearly 70,000 chickens perished early Thursday as fire swept through several buildings at a Pennsylvania farm.
I don't want to go home.
Well, you know what?
This is the third fire
yes.
at that farm in recent years.
Oh. Well, you've talked about the massive chicken death toll because of these raging fires.
Well, we've had other ones.
Other places.
Like, we're like 100,000 in here.
Little madness stop.
Have happened. But this is the third fire at this farm in recent years. A fire in 2019 claimed the lives of more than 37,000 chickens.
Outside the chicken farm, not quite tied to the mooring mast. Oh, my God, it burst into flames!
And
it burst into flames, and the chickens are falling to the ground.
Gene Simmons on location.
Yes.
Chickens and a fire in 2015 had destroyed an empty barn as well.
What? Why are these happening so frequently?
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know what it is about those buildings that makes them susceptible to catching fire.
I mean, honestly, I do understand that it's sort of a perfect fit. It's like a popcorn factory going up. I mean, at the end, you have edible results, but Jesus.
Fire marshal was expected to investigate the case of the latest blaze. Wow. A Disney World ticket booker helped a Pennsylvania woman escape domestic violence.
Wow.
Police in Pennsylvania said that the booker could hear the woman who had called yelling, "Get off me and get away from me. Get away from me."
Yes.
The booker asked the woman if she was calling because she needed a trip, and she replied that she wasn't.
Get away from me.
When the booker asked the woman if she needed help, the woman replied that she did.
Get away from me, you crumb.
Police arrived to her home on January 9th. The woman told police that she was arguing with her boyfriend, Wayne Shiflett, about his employment status. The woman said Shiflett choked her and she feared for her life. Records show Shiflett, who was charged with strangulation, terroristic threats, and intent to terrorize another, remained in the York County Jail on Sunday. Law enforcement authorities and experts have warned, though, against trying to reach 911 through a third party or coded language like a pizza order, saying that some people might not get the meaning.
Yeah, I try to be aware of all these things.
Some departments now offer the ability to text 911. Now, I don't know is why she called a Disney ticket broker.
She's a fan.
But who knows? But nonetheless, worked out okay in the end. So some people will call restaurants and order and use some kind of coded message, or they'll call 911 and pretend they're calling something else.
Well, they'll pretend they left their bag at home.
Which has happened to me this very morning. All right, and then we'll do one last story and wrap it up. Chinese rescuers on Sunday pulled to safety 11 workers who had been stuck 2,000 feet down in a gold mine for 14 days. I hadn't heard this story. With 10 others still lost and at least one dead.
Mm.
Hundreds of rescue workers and officials applauded as the 11 survivors were hauled up one by one in baskets from the mine. The rescued men shielded their eyes from the sun after being so many days in the darkness. The men who had been getting liquid food sent through a makeshift shaft were underground. They were covered in coats amid freezing temperatures and put into ambulances. They were half of the 22 trapped since January 10th when an explosion shifted an estimated 70 tons of debris, blocking the shaft, disabling elevators, and trapping workers at least 2,000 feet underground.
I don't think I'd be good in that situation.
No. One of the 10 appears to be
come on, gang,
on his own 325 feet down in rising water. So they're trying to get to them. So this story is not completely over as of yet. That's pretty wild. And that is what I have in the bizarre file for
amazing
you.
Stuff.
All right. One more time. We have a chance to win $500. And you have about 6 minutes left to get on it. The word that you need to enter is check. C-H-E-C-K. And you can enter it through the short code number we have, which is 45911, or through the MMR app, or through WMMR.com. Again, the word is check, C-H-E-C-K. Don't miss your chance. I want you to win this money. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on Xfinity On Demand.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Another chance to win $500 coming up around 10 o'clock. That will we be with, of course, the No Sad Dough contest, so don't miss it. But I noticed this story yesterday I thought was... Oh my God!
I see you transforming right in front of my eyes.
It's like magic.
He's like a shapeshifter. Mm. Preston Elliott has become the noticer.
I am now...
He notices things so you don't have to.
I try to
His noticing capabilities are beyond belief.
Okay, we'll start with...
He's going to notice things for us right now.
Maybe you guys noticed this yesterday, too, but...
What did he notice?
Budweiser.
Yeah.
For the first time in 37 years, the beer company will not be advertising during the Super Bowl.
And not the only one, right, of the some big companies.
Yeah, Pepsi and Coke are going to bail on it, too.
I mean, that's a mind blower.
What is the reason?
It's... You know, too expensive. They all these companies have had, you know, taken losses.
Really, but... they're alcohol. They really taken a loss. I wonder, they got an uptick.
Have they specified the reason? I know that they're doing stuff related to like you said yesterday, Budweiser was doing stuff related to vaccine awareness.
Yeah, so they're gonna take that money that would have been spent, or at least some of it, on a commercial slot. Reported $6 million. From the event to support critical COVID-19 vaccine awareness.
Okay.
With donations and future ad campaigns, the pandemic forced Budweiser to rethink its marketing approach. According to the vice president of marketing, they said as the alcohol industry reeled from the sudden shutdown of bars, restaurants, and big events, the brand wanted to be proactive in promoting vaccine awareness since it will eventually lead back to normalcy. So, I mean, listen, they probably still made enough, but they could have made more with restaurants and bars and all that being
open. They're looking at this as an investment in getting things back to normal, so getting it on the other side. So rather than on a Super Bowl that probably isn't going to be as Super Bowl-y as once past, they're looking, okay, so we'll just invest this and see what we can do about getting things back to normal.
Some of Budweiser's planned advertising airtime this year will be given to the Ad Council and COVID Collaborative's Vaccine Education Initiative.
Well, maybe this is the first year we run an ad during the Super Bowl if the prices start to come down on the spots, Preston.
Last year, both organizations forged a partnership to educate the public about the vaccine's safety and effectiveness. Budweiser is donating $1 million worth of ad inventory on TV, radio, and other places to the organizations for future ads.
How about No Sad Bowl?
Ooh.
There you go. Come on. Like that's $1 million idea that hopefully they charge us $1,000 for.
Ahead of the game, Budweiser is also rolling out a new online ad this week, narrated by Rashida Jones, highlighting people coping with the virus and a group of healthcare workers that were among the first people in the U.S. to receive the vaccine. It's only giving away free beer on a. It's also giving away free beer on a dedicated website, which I don't know much about. But yeah, Coca-Cola and Pepsi both announced in recent weeks they will not be buying ads during the Super Bowl.
That's interesting. Wow. I wonder what the commercial load will look like for the Super Bowl. Yeah. Well, you know, if it's going to be, and also because the Super Bowl impact had been diminishing a bit over the past couple of years.
Yeah. Right.
We talked about it.
Right.
It wasn't the big thing that it was because of the leaks online of the ads ahead of the game.
It says here the sports spectacle has been struggling to attract the degree of advertising demand it usually draws because of the pandemic's economic effects on companies, on you know all of companies' bottom lines. Some people are bailing. And I wonder what that will mean for the rates. Are they going to drop the rates to some extent? You would think so.
I think so. And I think they can direct that money to radio. You know?
Yeah. Maybe they could. By the way, going back to the Super Bowl, I was talking about it earlier this morning and the people that are singing the national anthem and the America the Beautiful and all that. Apparently, Eric Church is a juggernaut.
He is,
in country music. So
you're not into country music.
Yeah, so for how long has he been around? I said I didn't know who he was.
At least a decade, maybe more. I've seen him live. Listen, he's one of those guys that you wouldn't hate.
And well, I do hate country music. So
Well, how do you feel about Sturgill Simpson and that like
country, I don't know who that is.
Country rock. Okay. I'm going to give up the argument.
I mean, I can lie and go,
how do you feel about Kenny
Chesney? Let me spend a little more time with him. I don't know. What?
Kenny Chesney, does that do anything for you?
Yeah, but I couldn't tell you any songs the guy does.
I can tell you one song.
What?
Well, It's called, like, Get Along or something like that.
Okay.
I know.
I can tell you one song. It's called, I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's called Get Along.
Yeah. There are aspects of Southern rock that you don't hate, and so I guess I'm appealing to that side of you.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And there are parts of Eric Church that I find to be entertaining.
Southern Rocky.
Okay.
Yeah.
Southern Rocky.
Yeah.
He stinks.
Yeah. That's right. It stinks.
Yeah. It's the new song, Drinking Stank.
Oh, no.
It's Southern Rocky.
That it was,
yes.
Actually. Dolly Parton wrote that song. The Dolly Parton I know.
Thank you for remembering.
I actually found myself interested in the Super Bowl itself this year for the first time in a while.
Of the hybrid nature of it or the weird nature of it?
The Tom Brady in a new team playing at home thing is appealing to
that
me.
That is pretty cool.
And I like a stadium that has a pirate ship with a cannon attached to it.
That you've seen that, right, Preston?
No.
It is awesome. Yeah. They have like this... I don't know how you know deep it goes, but it's a pirate ship up in the stands, and it's pretty tricked out. It looks good.
But okay. I think I'll actually tune into the game itself, and I find that Tom Brady is really polarizing for a lot of people. I know people love to hate him, but I think he's the greatest quarterback of all time, so I'm interested to see how he does. And I'm also interested to see what the stadium itself is going to look like with however many people that they let in. I know it's going to be the 7,500.
What did you watch?
Healthcare workers, but I was a little turned off by the number of people who were at Arrowhead over the weekend and Green Bay. To me, that's a lot, but you know, that's just my humble opinion on it.
How many people were at those stadiums?
Well, Lambeau didn't have as much as the one in Kansas City did, and so I know they're both outdoors, but Lambeau was much more sparsely populated than Arrowhead was.
Okay, yeah, because I thought it was in the 7,000 range. I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah, me neither. Steve, they're not going to be able to do Drinkenstein at the Super Bowl because it was brought to you by
Budweiser. You see the monster.
You're right.
And they call it Drinkenstein.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I agree. There is that fascination of 10 times to the Super Bowl, which is pretty wild for Tom Brady.
All right, so I noticed something else, and this...
Notice you can't even stop noticing.
No. I noticed a viral fashion trend of 2021, and I have to ask Kathy about this. The Amazon legging?
Is it the butt?
Yeah.
Okay, wait. I have a story about this.
Okay, so should I describe it first, or do you want to go for it?
Go ahead. Describe it.
All right, so so apparently it is their workout pants, or a particular style of workout pants, but Amazon legging is apparently like a catch-all description of workout pants, but sold by a number of different manufacturers.
Is your ass exposed?
Well, no. So it's compression gear, and it's a signature design that features... That has a lot of people talking. So the leggings have a dart-like waistband, which points right down to your butt crack.
Like, it just accentuates the butt. It kind of has this, piping material. So
to shunt the farts away?
God, you're the worst. I can't even tell a story.
And the texture on some of them I've seen, Kathy, kind of look fishnetty. They look kind of sexy.
So the ones that I've seen...
Oh, okay. Yes, I've seen these. I like these.
Just found a picture here.
And so, yeah, people are describing them like the. So there's a whole
There's a hole right there.
No, there's a campaign, like a social media campaign where these influencers, they say, I did it. I bought the Amazon leggings. And so I was scrolling through TikTok and I'm just and one pops up and I'm like, wait a minute. Who is that? Do you remember our old intern, Brooke? She had blonde hair. She was like super workout girl.
Oh, fitness girl.
Fitness
yes,
girl.
Yes, absolutely.
It was her. No. It was our intern. And it was a random Amazon ad. And I was like,
wow.
Huh. Oh,
and Brooke
damn,
was modeling?
And it was Brooke. Yeah. And she was like, I did it. I bought the Amazon leggings. She showed her booty in the leggings.
Was she the one that did the video on Ryan and Kelly the one time?
No. That was a different one. Yeah.
Okay.
Is Brooke right here, Preston. I don't know if you remember.
Yeah.
She
very fit.
Her Instagram is Brooke Morris. With
she was our
S's.
Intern?
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, she, and I think she went to Newman.
Rydell.
So she did stuff with like the video crew too for her camp out and when we did Christmas Miracle and all of that.
So she was modeling them for
she was
as an influencer or just her own personal?
And it wasn't even her account. It came from whoever was selling these or whatever the ad was. It was a sponsored ad. It was not from her account. And yeah, and she popped up.
I remembered because in the face she looked a little bit like Kate from the surf movie, Blue Crush.
Bosworth?
Kate, a little bit like Kate Bosworth, I thought.
And okay. I was just watching her last night and Win a Date with Tad Hamilton.
Oh, wow.
I watched her the other night in a terrible movie called Homefront.
Wow.
Yeah.
So can we go back to the leggings?
Yes.
Yeah, so, please do. Can I try them on?
Yes.
I'll model them.
Please. We need to get a pair of them.
I kind of want to try a pair, too.
It's supposed to make your makes your butt pop a little bit.
Because I don't... Yeah, I kind of need that.
You need a little more... Yeah. Need a little more hiney, Kathy.
No, but I'm thinking maybe it'll, like, condense it.
You mean repackage it?
Yeah, maybe it'll repackage it.
While I was looking at this story, I went on and I saw a girl who seemed to have, like, an average-sized butt, and then she put these on and it looked like it. Pow!
Yeah, to me. My God, my ass would look
enormous.
I might get them. They're not expensive. That's the thing, though. That's why I haven't purchased them, is because a lot of times you see this and then you get them and you're not going to look like those girls.
Yeah, let me ask you. $12 to $28 is the price.
That's fairly cheap.
Are they viable? Are they good for working out, though, or are they just a fashion statement?
I don't know.
They don't look like they'd be particularly good for working out.
All right, so I had a gal who had tried them out who wrote this article. She said, after months of sitting on her butts, the Amazon leggings feel like the strangest mix of trying too hard and totally giving up on style. They also aren't the least bit durable. My pair had sliver-like holes in the knee after a half-assed 30-minute workout.
Oh, okay.
So there we go. See, I was wondering, because it is that mesh, and I wonder how, you know.
Well, that was only the one style
that's
that you
just saw. A pattern on it. It's not mesh. It just looks like that.
Okay.
You know how jeggings can look like jeans?
Sure, sure.
It's that type of thing. So it's not mesh.
The whole idea, though, is to make your ass just explode with assiness.
It says here that the butt dart resembles an 80s-era over-the-pants thong look.
Oh. Yeah, remember those?
Yeah, yeah. So that's why it's kind of accentuating, like, the butt crack.
Yeah, girls used to do that, right? Wear, like, satiny-type leggings and then put a thong on over top of it, or was that just part of the pattern?
No, was like the, like, you mean in the 80s?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that was like the workout outfit. No, yeah. That's what it was. It was leggings underneath a thong bodysuit.
I always thought that was pretty sexy.
When you see that look, you immediately know you're talking about the 80s. The look that I remember for a while, which seemed totally weird and bizarre, was the thong straps pulled up above the jeans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Remember that for a while?
Yeah, I went through that phase.
And they had the whale tail, which would come up the back.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, so anyhow, this is the Amazon legging, by the way. Hold on, here's a text that says, oh my God, Amazon leggings are amazing.
What?
I bought my...
Tell me, girl.
Is that Bill?
No, it's a guy. Oh. I bought my girlfriend them. They are amazing. If you don't have a butt, they give you a butt.
Huh.
See, I don't have a butt. I should try those on.
Well, yeah.
Let's
Casey
order a pair.
We should order some. Let's all try them pair on.
What is the actual... It's just the Amazon legging. Is that the name of it?
I don't know, Kath. Is it from Amazon? This person said it's a catch... it's kind of a catch-all description.
Yeah.
So maybe do a search on Amazon legging, but it'll probably just take you to Amazon.com.
I've actually been wearing leggings a little bit more often these days.
to make your booty pop?
No.
Bike riding
or jogging outside in this weather.
Hey,
I don't necessarily know. I mean, I guess they're called leggings. Let me ask you a serious question.
Yeah. Would you ever wear pantyhose? Because I've heard, we've talked about this in the past, where like construction workers will wear pantyhose in the winter for warmth.
No. Would I ever? If it was the only option, yeah.
What if you wanted to feel sexy?
If I wanted to feel sexy, I'll wear something else.
Okay.
If it was so free. If it was the only option, of course I would. But I have these Nike. I think they're both Nike. They're leggings. Okay. You know what I mean?
They are, Casey. Yeah. They're leggings. It's odd to call it for a man, but they are leggings. And I believe the description when you purchase them are leggings.
I'm no longer Casey. I'm Cassandra.
Jackie Bam Bam wears leggings.
Football player.
He wears female, but he wears women's leggings.
Yeah, he goes
what
to
Casey's
Deb.
Talking about is like, you know, is much different.
That was the big thing for a while for football players. I don't know if they still do to wear the pantyhose under there. Yeah.
Well, the basketball players will wear the leggings, too.
Speaking of football players, I saw these leggings that I just thought were super sexy, and they are designed to look like professional football pants, right? So, like, whatever the Eagles wear on Sunday or whatever, they, design-wise, look like that, but they're actually leggings.
For
I love those.
Men or women?
No, they're for women.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're sexy for men, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Do you think that you guys would fit in a size large?
Well, what's the waist size?
They're leggings. There isn't a waist size. Yeah.
There is, though.
Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
You ordering something?
Okay.
I would probably go.
Are you ordering for yourself?
But I'm not shopping in January. Oh, it's okay. It's for work, right?
Yeah, no,
I'm not purchasing anything.
And what she's growing a mustache.
Did you tell us about that already?
Steve, God, he's such a jerk. I did it last year. I don't know if we talked. I don't think we talked
about it.
It's like
dry January for you, right?
Yeah, and not spending any money other than like what's necessary.
Okay. Wow.
To survive.
Good to you.
You know, like shoes and leggings.
Yeah, just essentials.
Just essentials.
Like succulents.
And brand new shoes.
Yeah, brand new shoes.
If you don't call them leggings, people are texting and you can call them compression pants.
Yeah.
Compression pants.
You can do that.
Have you ever tried any of that compression stuff? Compression socks and things of that nature?
No.
I have.
Yeah.
And?
I didn't notice anything. I found them uncomfortable.
Well, Dr. Mike, doesn't he endorse or...
He did a while ago. He did it with
copper.
Dr. Oz.
Yeah. It was like copperware or copper or something.
If you're made of copper, those were the socks you'd wear.
No. I wear long underwear when it's cold out. And that's really... It's essentially leggings, you know, or compression type of material, but...
I like long underwear. I don't like compression stuff.
I will wear that, when it gets... When it definitely gets cold out. Like when we go to that... Cardboard Classic or something like that. I put on long underwear underneath. Jackie would stand there.
Oh my God.
I don't get it. Just like nothing.
Yeah.
No gloves, no real jacket.
Wearing ass hanging out.
Butt crack hanging out. I don't know how he did it.
The full contour of his junk.
Yeah.
I mean, visible. So you knew there was no, the thinnest of fabric between his
out there
schlong
for
and
hours.
The elements.
For hours like
how does that. How does it not fall off?
I don't know. All right, here's some other things that I didn't notice. We're going to talk about death for a moment.
It's very, very sad.
It is. A Las Vegas billionaire is offering a reward of nearly $1 million to anyone who can find proof of life after death.
I saw this.
Robert Bigelow is his name. He's 75. He's the CEO of space station module startup Bigelow Aerospace. And recently founded the Bigelow Institute for Consciousness Studies to support research into what happens after we die.
Is this a division of Bigelow Tea?
I don't know.
Man, they're advertising a lot lately on Jeopardy.
Really are.
It's crazy.
I do like that Earl Grey.
They got a lot of ad dollars.
He founded the Institute in June, 4 months after his wife died. So I think he might have been motivated
by
that.
Sure. I understand that. $1 billion.
Yeah, a million.
Oh, okay.
He's a billionaire.
Billion.
No, it's a million.
Well, a billion is like a million.
It's like a million, but
it's like a billion.
A lot less.
All right, so $1 million.
So he notes on the website that we are seeking hard evidence beyond a reasonable doubt that takes us beyond religion or philosophy and provides a body of knowledge to be brought widely into the public arena that could be unifying in its impact on human awareness and culture.
Do you think I would qualify for this money were I to send him a copy of the movie Ghost?
He would have to at least consider.
Oh, my God.
Maybe at least cover the cost of the movie.
Yes, I'll send the movie and I'll just write one simple note.
So, ditto. To be eligible, here's the deal. So, if you want to send ghosts, this is the eligibility requirements. Entrants must qualify as serious researchers by February 28th.
That I can't do.
And must submit scientific studies of up to 25,000 words before August 1st. They probably say 25,000 words in the movie Ghost, right?
I think so, yeah, if you send them the script and the Rotten Tomatoes review.
Right. A panel of judges made up of specialists will then choose the winner.
Who are the specialists?
That I don't know.
Okay. I assume Paul Abdul, the usual, Simon Cowell, Randy Jackson.
The winning essay will receive $500,000. Second place will get $300,000. And a third place winner will get $150,000. The website states the goal of the essay contest is to award contestants for writing papers that summarize the best evidence available for the survival of human consciousness after permanent bodily death.
So I've always subscribed to the notion that we are electrochemical energy, and energy cannot be destroyed once it's created. What form it takes, whether it is a soul, whether it is, you know, if something that goes on after the physical shell passes, I don't know.
Right.
I have some ideas. I would like to think that there's something that perhaps ties us to the universe in a more connected way afterwards. You know, Houdini, when he passed, you know, it was the thing is his widow was charged with
you know, there was a message that she was supposed to hear from the seances and psychics. She went around debunking a lot of those things.
Yeah,
she never got the message.
Yeah, there was one thing
that
was going to be conveyed that would prove conclusively if he was able to connect with her.
So if there...
It was Drinkenstein.
It was Drinkenstein? I didn't know that.
God, you created a monster. I see a Stein.
Drinkenstein. Okay. Do you think that if there was proof beyond a reasonable doubt that there was life after death?
Yes.
That would be a good thing or a bad thing for society?
that's a big question.
That is a deep, big question. It's hard to say, you know, because
that's like the question: how much can you bench?
Well, like you take the movie Contact, where it becomes a religious
Matthew McConaughey.
Debate.
Yeah.
And I never once had considered that would be something that would be considered and contested and thought about if there was conclusive evidence that there was some form of proof of life elsewhere. And I'm like, wow, you know, I just on a basic sense, I'd be like, that'd be amazing. But then I didn't think about the lifetime of belief that would be challenged by information like that and how complicated and confusing and controversial that would be to human existence.
It's like a billion.
It's like a billion.
It is like a billion.
I would say
so. So yeah, Casey, it'd be a trip. It would not be simple.
We are starting to get things declassified pertaining to UFOs and things that have been discovered. And things that are coming out that are more than just simply like a dude sitting with Reynolds wrap on his head that's saying, well, there might be, you know, there's some more on the level of inexplicable stuff. And the mindset has always been, Preston, that are people ready for this? Could the country survive if they knew? Could people in general survive if they knew that was going on?
Yeah.
So you raise a question that is the age old question. How would you react? I think knowing that there was something.
Well.
Past life would be encouraging for most people unless you've had a crappy life.
Yeah, the reason I ask is if, you know, there is, you know, no consequences for your actions here, then why be good?
Well, okay. So if you're saying that there's a definitive answer as whether or not you're judged after you die. And
that's a whole different thing.
That's a different thing. Yeah. Just proof that there is life after.
And if you can get, if you use the pool, you get to use the pool.
Yeah.
After.
Yeah.
Well, you got to earn that, I would imagine.
The rewards program. I think I subscribe to the notion that there are just some things that are unknowable.
Yes.
And that we will never know. And I, Steve, I completely agree with you that, you know, it's cool to see where our knowledge goes and what we're able to gain and things that we're finding out about deep space that we never thought we would find out about.
No,
right.
Exactly.
That's fascinating to me. But to me, those things are knowable. The question of life after death, I don't know. Like I laud this guy for his efforts, but I don't know how he could ever prove any of those.
Yeah, no. But
I have a Blu-ray.
Well, there are and I have the stat on that in just a moment.
Okay.
But hang on a second. There are interesting things that are being bandied about in science fiction and have been for a long time, actually, that, dude, you never know. The ability with artificial intelligence on the rise and maybe being able to eventually take our consciousness and put it into a computer form, you know, some type of a hard drive or something like that. You know, you've seen Black Mirror and there's a couple of books and things like that that flirt with that. As we continue to evolve, maybe that technology becomes available, and that is a form of life after death. It's bizarre.
Let me tell you something.
It's bizarre.
In my recent readings and things like this, and my level of cynicism about certain things has increased, and also my belief that we're there in a lot of, like, there are things, if so many times I said, well, how would you ever do that? And they do it. And you find out. So I have, yes, Preston, that notion of taking what is the essence of your intellect or who you are and storing it. You know, we hear these little things, but you don't realize there are laboratories and it's trillion-dollar potential, you know, to, you know, and of course, the megalomaniacs that want to, you know, the Dr. Frankensteins of our time who want to live on in some other form. Yes, that could be, we could be well along on that, not even know. I mean, it's like when you first saw the Boston Dynamics dog running around, you went, oh, hell.
That's a bad idea.
That's how far along they are. Mm-hmm. And then you see the full standing robotic human who's dancing. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, forget it.
Yeah, I know.
It's over.
I know. And it's interesting how you do look back at
Nothing is over!
At science fiction and those things that were science fiction
right.
that do become science fact eventually because maybe, you know, the scientists, the engineers were inspired by their stories to go, maybe we can really do that. And then they start working on it and it happens.
I think many is the time is that. So the sort of the speculative fiction lays out sort of a what if.
Yeah.
And scientists say, what if? Let's go for it.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Go for it.
So I don't... It all comes back to Stallone.
Robot dogs, hey. Go for it.
It always comes
You're
back to.
Than that. Hey, can I point out since we're all over the map,
and
we're gonna leave the. By the way, Steve, Ghost, including characters' names and stage direction, is 25,703 words, so it would qualify.
Yay!
All right. Thank you to Marissa. God knows how she came up with that stat, but she found it.
I'm on the road to Easy Street then.
All right, I'm going to talk about Rocky for a moment. This is completely different.
This is going to prove an afterlife.
It might. So in Rocky III.
Right.
And I would have to go back. And this is me saying this without checking on this.
Fighting Clubber Lang.
So, you know, and Apollo becomes his trainer.
Yes.
And he tells him how he needs the eye of the tiger. I mean,
right.
that's the whole theme of the movie. He says to him, and I got to go back and see it, whether he says either the first time you fought me or the second time you fought me, you had the eye of the tiger, which in their face-off, he doesn't at all. Before the fight, Rocky's kind of shying away and looking away from him. And
he is,
And kind of looking at the ref and nodding and missing. Right. And I'm like, that wasn't the eye of the tiger.
No.
But I'd have to see the second movie. When they fought again, if Stallone seemed more confident in the face-off or not. I'd have to see that. Damn it. And you bringing up the Rocky.
It is sort of a, he's more timid because he's facing off against basically Muhammad Ali.
Right.
And he is blown away, overwhelmed. In the second one, which is the rematch, which wasn't supposed to happen, he's dealing with all sorts of other issues like the birth of a child and medical issues.
Yeah.
And he was sort of... not at his top for that either.
Right.
Well, is that what goddamn movie does he have the eye of the tiger? He never does. He's always fighting uphill when he goes into the ring.
Well, no. When he faced Clubber, he finally had it.
Because
Apollo talked.
But that's the first time with Clubber.
Did they fight twice in that movie?
That's when Mickey dies.
In Rocky III, yeah.
God, I got to go back. Eventually, he did have it. All right, so
hang on. Did Eye of the Tiger, was that written for the first movie or the second one?
The first movie.
It was written for Gone with the Wind.
They weren't even a band when the first movie
That's what I thought.
Out.
Okay.
Yeah, or the second.
They were just babies.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway.
I didn't know.
It's like a billion.
Is it like a billion?
Mm-hmm. All right, let me notice
the whoopee of the tiger.
Let me notice something else before...
I think we solved a lot of things here.
Well, we figured we definitively proved that there's life after death.
Absolutely, through vis-a-vis Sylvester Stallone.
And Ghost.
And Rocky III.
Let me see if I have one more story to mention. Which one is it going to be?
What's it going to be, boy?
Yes. Or...
All right, how about this? If you have an iPhone 12... although Apple has long acknowledged that its iPhone 12 lineup and MagSafe accessories may interfere with medical devices such as pacemakers and defibrillators, it released additional guidance for people who use medical devices on Saturday.
Stop using them.
No, it says keep your iPhone 12 and MagSafe accessories a safe distance away from your medical devices. I didn't know this. So if you have a pacemaker, an iPhone can mess with it, or at least a new one.
That's not good.
No, Apple explains that the iPhone 12 contains magnets as well as components and radios that emit electromagnetic fields. The company also stated that all its MagSafe accessories contain magnets as well.
Thanks, Apple.
And that its MagSafe charger and MagSafe Duo charger contain radios. I don't even know what a MagSafe is.
So I believe it's a charging aspect of it, so that you like a cordless charging thing that allows you to.
The MagSafe is?
Well, they're saying that this one is safe for magnets. So you can use, there's like magnet attachments, like if you wanted to attach like a wallet to it, to the back of it.
Yeah.
So
then I misspoke.
Yeah, it's a quick attach accessory.
Okay.
I guess that can
like,
charge it.
Like tape.
But the hospitals used to have, all of the hospitals used to have signs saying that you couldn't use your phone while in the hospital. Do they still have that? Is that still a thing?
That's a good question. And
somebody break a leg so we can send you to the hospital.
I see people all the time using it. I never didn't understand why.
I mean, you see like the doctors and the nurses using their phones. So my thought was, okay, well, it's not going to, I used to think it's going to mess with the equipment. I don't want to kill, Mr. Smith on my way through because my phone's on.
I had heard you could put it on airplane mode and it would be okay, but I never did find out the reason why, what equipment they have around there that might be.
There are some vagaries surrounding all of that. Like on the plane,
I've left
my phone on and we never crashed.
Well, like on the plane, they say put it on airplane mode, but what happens if you don't?
Well,
But I mean, can it interfere? Like, I do because I'm like, it's going to interfere and then I'm going to crash the plane.
Or it more than likely will crash the luggage plane that's flying behind.
They'll crash into our plane.
While an inconvenience, it's not necessarily a tragedy.
Exactly.
You know, so, but although there is a pilot that could die in the
you don't want that.
Is that a drone? Are the baggage planes a drone?
It's a Boston Dynamics dog.
She thought there was a pilot flying it.
I don't know. I never have found it. Nick, can you do me a favor and see why you shouldn't use cell phones at hospitals? Because I am curious as to what that is. So
how do you make a Monte Cristo?
What's that?
I'm just kidding.
Okay. Preston knows how to do that.
How to do what?
How to make a Monte Cristo.
Oh, a Monte Cristo. I thought you said how to make a monkey crystal. I'm like,
what's monkey crystal?
I don't know, but I think we have an Indiana Jones journey.
Let's see here. The reason cell phones may interfere with critical care equipment such as ventilators and external pacemakers. So there you go.
With that
in mind, they support the practice of keeping cell phones at least about 3 feet away from medical equipment or hospital beds. So it might mess with, defibrillators and pacemakers. Okay, that's from 2007.
I got chastised once at the hospital. I was getting an MRI, and I brought my throwing knife collection.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you ask if you could do that ahead of time?
I just thought they'd want to see it.
When I go in for an MRI, and you have to fill out the information, do you have any spring implants? Blah, 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 this and that. And I know that I don't.
Are you a robot?
But I still go, all right, am I sure? That Because the last thing I'd want is something come flying out of my skin.
Yeah, spring to blow through your chest.
Yep.
I always think of the penny that I swallowed when I was like 6 years old. I'm like, I wonder if that's still in it.
It's like when Magneto puts the coin through Kevin Bacon's head.
Yes.
You never got confirmation that it passed?
No, I probably forgot about it. I never said anything to anybody because I was warned about putting money in my mouth.
Don't you ever tell anyone about this.
Right. Okay, well, anyhow, if you have an iPhone 12, keep it away from your defibrillator or if you have a pacemaker, that could be not good for you. Random phone call. This is Adam, who is on the line. Adam, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, how you doing? Why are you giggling?
Because I just won $500 on MMR.
The man did it. Oh, he did it. He is our No Sad No winner for this hour. Feel pretty good, Adam?
Yeah.
Excellent, man. What do you do for a living, Adam?
I work for Amtrak doing rail car repair.
Oh, no kidding.
Nice.
Excellent, man. Well, it's a little chilly out there these days, so stay warm. But $500, you stick that in your wallet, that's a little more insulation for you. Where are you from, Adam?
Gibbstown, New Jersey.
All right, my man. Thank you for listening to MMR, and we are more than happy to give you $500 for being such a loyal listener to the radio station. All right, my man?
Thank you. Love you guys.
All right.
Love you.
Super Adam, guys. Nice job.
Hey.
All right. We are going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. We have a guest joining us, the official paleontologist of the Preston and Steve Show. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
93.3 WMMR has been to some strange places. And now we're at radio.com. Come visit.
The motivation to request an interview from this next gentleman was because an article I saw was titled, "Scientists Have Described a Dinosaur's Butthole in Exquisite Detail."
Yes.
I'm like, we need an expert on this. and it is the story of the, and I don't even know how to pronounce this particular dinosaur.
Asasaurus.
Psittacosaurus, I think, or a Psittacosaurus or something.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Tacosaurus,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
That would be a great name for a restaurant, right? Tacosaurus?
Tacosaurus.
Two Tacosauruses and one pterodactyl martini.
Mm. Oh, man, I'm getting my mouth is watering up. But anyhow, I saw a handful of stories concerning dinosaurs and so on. So we figured, hey, let's get the official paleontologist of the Preston and Steve Show on the program this morning.
Yeah, we have our own.
He is a professor at Rowan University. He's made all kinds of exciting discoveries in our area as well, which is pretty amazing. We love him to death. Dr. Kenneth Lacavara is on the show this morning. Dr. Ken, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Nice to be back with you guys.
Oh, wonderful to talk to you. Hey, so how bad did I butcher that dinosaur's name?
You know, I think you got it right on the second try. It's Psittacosaurus.
Psittacosaurus.
Psittacosaurus. It does sound good, doesn't it?
But I like the Tacosaurus. That's got a ring.
Tacosaurus would just be this enormous taco.
Yeah, so I read this article, which was intriguing in the fact that they have a very detailed description. And it is, according to this article, the most detailed description yet of a non-avian dinosaur's cloaca, the catch-all hole used for peeing, pooping, mating, and laying eggs. Is this thundering news across the world of paleontologists?
Well, a little bit. So the cloaca doesn't usually preserve, right? Those are soft parts. So before this, we didn't really know what the dinosaurs had under the hood.
Right.
But we can make inferences from birds. Birds are dinosaurs. That's why that article says non-avian dinosaurs. The avian dinosaurs are the birds. And we know that 97% of birds have a cloaca, meaning that the males do not have a penis. Only about 3% of bird species have males with penises.
Mm-hmm.
So it appears that this dinosaur, the Psittacosaurus, had a cloaca, but that still doesn't answer the question for all dinosaurs. There may have been species that, you know, had the other setup as well.
So, okay. So in speaking, when we're talking about an all-purpose exit for urine and feces and all of that, as well as a sexual port, or no?
Yeah, everything. A cloaca is actually Greek for sewer.
Man. Check out the sewer on that chick.
But like chickens, for example, the rooster, the cock, actually doesn't have one.
Okay.
We'll let that one go.
All right.
Okay. He's right, though. He's a man of science.
He's a doctor.
Please.
I'm a man of science.
Yes.
They have a cloaca, and so the way they mate is it's known, unfortunately, as the cloacal kiss. So.
Oh.
So they get those two kind of ports together,
okay,
and that's where the sperm is.
I've never known that. I've always curious. Yeah. So there's no penetration of sorts going on. It's kind of a kiss, and swapping of fluids.
Correct.
So
if you look at...
And Buttkiss was the name of Rocky's dog.
Buttkiss was the name of Rocky's dog! Is there anything that pugilists did not know? So would we be correct?
But it stinks!
And Dr. Ken, Professor Ken, in paleontologist Ken, to say that there is some sort of mashing of these particular ports that that transfers the semen or sperm or whatever?
Correct.
Yep. Okay, so all right.
That's what we think. I mean, you know.
We don't know conclusively because obviously you say these are the first things to deteriorate once these beasts passed away.
Right. Normally we only find the skeletons or parts of the skeleton. And then sometimes you get a little bit of film from the flesh that preserved around the bones. And that's what this paper was based on. So they see kind of a little mineral stain around the bones, and in this case they saw two little lumps which they interpreted as scent glands, which is pretty speculative, I would say.
Sure.
But it's reasonable because of bird anatomy to think that most dinosaurs actually had that set up.
It's interesting because this article, they describe the cloaca as the Swiss Army knife of buttholes, common throughout the animal kingdom today. All birds, amphibians, reptiles, and even a few mammals possess them. So I wasn't aware of that. Yeah.
So there's a little pair of scissors in there as well?
I guess so.
Yeah, not quite all birds. Ducks actually have extravagant male genitalia.
Oh, really? Yeah. So, I mean, not to use a non-scientific phrase, but are ducks fairly well hung?
Unbelievably so.
Really?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Bizarrely so. Yeah.
I mean, so is that what's being used as the rudder when they're in the water?
I'm going to find a photo of this right now.
Of a duck dong?
Yeah, be careful with that search. But
okay. A quick question.
Oh, my God. Long duck dong.
Long duck
dong. Oh, my God.
I wonder.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
It's got to be.
Probably, if you're familiar with 16 Candles, that might be where he got his nickname.
Here's the picture I found when I looked up.
Oh, God.
No, yeah. that's not a duck.
I spelled duck wrong.
Kathy, that's the picture I found.
Let me ask you, Ken, in this case... So animals, mammals of that size, when you get up around like, you know, the Allosaurus or Brontosaurus, or I know there's a new, perhaps, king of the largest of land mammals. So in matters of intercourse, you know, for things of that size to be on top of each other, how did that work?
Well, we don't really know.
Okay.
You know, at 65 tons, they weren't working their way through the Kama Sutra. We know that.
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, exactly.
That's not a sentence I expected to hear
today.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah. Let me get on top.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you a bottom or a top at 65 tons?
Yeah, so we actually don't know. But, you know, I think it was probably something pretty boring for the really, really big dinosaurs. They don't have a lot of options.
So, Ken, I have a question for you, because I know you've really been around the world when it comes to fossil hunting. And I read recently that the conditions had to be perfect in order for the fossil itself to exist. I mean, not only did the creature have to die in a specific way, but it had to die in a specific place in order for the skeleton to be preserved for us to be able to have... to make that discovery today, right, in these times. So where have you been, and why do conditions have to be a certain way in order for fossils to be discovered?
Well, if you think about an animal out on the landscape today, like imagine a deer that you might see in your backyard, when that animal dies, it almost certainly decays away right on the surface. Right?
Yes.
We've all seen that.
Right, right.
So in order to become a fossil, you have to be buried quickly. And then that means you need just the right circumstances. So you need the point bar of a river migrating fast. You need a sand dune blowing quickly. You need sediment on a beach or an inlet piling up quickly.
Or a landslide, something of that nature.
A landslide, something like that.
So for a minute, I thought my cat maybe was a fossil.
So you have to make that transition from the biosphere to the geosphere very rapidly. And then you have to have just the right geochemical conditions to preserve the fossil, and then actually get flesh preserved. That's extraordinary. And so you need very fine-grained sediment. Think of the size of the sediment as kind of like the resolution on your computer screen.
So sure.
The smaller the piece of sediment, like the more pixels you would have. So to preserve soft tissue, you need a dinosaur buried rapidly, right geochemistry, very fine sediment, and then you need geology not to mess that up for, in this case, 95 million years.
So I know that they just discovered a 99-million-year-old beetle, a bioluminescent beetle that was in amber. So is that – what is the oldest piece of I don't know, not a fossil, but physical bone? What's the oldest – animal or mammal or sign of life or anything that we have available to us now? How far back does it go?
There are fossil bacteria from Australia and I believe Greenland that both date back to about 3.8 billion years old.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
So that's about when we think life on Earth started. And before that, the atmosphere of the Earth from 4.5 billion to 3.8 billion was very, very caustic, and really life couldn't exist on that planet. And there was constant asteroid bombardment and such. Things calmed down right at 3.8 billion, and it's exactly at 3.8 billion that we see the fossil record start. So it looks to us like life on Earth is not only probable, right? We know it was,
but inevitable. As soon as that door opened, boom, life walked through it.
All right, so to piggyback on Steve's question, because he had mentioned, you know, material versus fossils, because if something is, and this is me speaking as a complete neophyte here,
right.
A fossil I had always thought of as like an impression of what once was,
right.
as opposed to the actual living material, like a bone.
That's what I always thought.
Okay,
yeah.
Is that correct in the way I stated that?
Yep, they are both fossils. So you can have
They're what both we fossils. Call
a body fossil, that would be the bones or the whole animal preserved in amber, say. Or you can have a mold, that's an impression. You can have a cast, that's where the sediment got into the mold and then hardened and became a cast of that mold. Or we also would call trackways and traces, things like that. Those are fossils as well.
Okay, so when we see the reconstructed dinosaurs in the museums, those are actual bone, pieces of bone.
They're either actual pieces of bone or the bones are, you know, back in the collections and those are replicas of those bones.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So there are fossilized bones and fossilized things of that nature. Again, it's amazing how little we know about this. Thank God we have you on.
Yeah.
Because we are fascinated, but we just assume things. And I mean, it was not too long ago that I thought all rocks were dinosaur eggs. So, but that said, there is so much that's going on and so much that's being advanced. And there is this story of this titanosaur, which is this the largest? They believe it was found down in where was it? Patagonia. And I know.
Yeah.
Is this another? Because you were integral in the discovery of another one, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In
Dreadnoticus.
2005, I discovered Dreadnoticus. Yeah, which is a 65-ton dinosaur. It's still the most massive dinosaur for which we can confidently calculate the weight.
Right.
But in the years since then, a lot of really big ones have turned up, like this recent discovery from northern Patagonia. This is a yet-to-be-named dinosaur because they still have a lot of it in the ground, and it's not clear whether it's a new species or not. But it is clear that it's really, really big. It's probably Dreadnoughtus size, could be even larger. We don't know yet. Mm. A few years ago, another one, which they named Patagotitan, was found. It appears that that might be even larger than Dreadnoughtus, but we can't calculate the mass of it because to do that, you need the humerus, the upper arm bone, and the femur, the upper leg bone. You need both of those to calculate the mass, and they don't have both.
They don't have it yet.
Individual. Yeah.
What was the – all right, so at this point on Earth – is the largest mammal to ever exist on Earth the blue whale?
Yes.
The blue whale. So we're living in a time with the largest creature ever to live on Earth is alive and I assume thriving.
We are living in a new age of giants, and yet the blue whale is the largest creature to ever live on Earth in 4.5 billion years. Unfortunately, they are not thriving. They are critically endangered. Mm. Because of all the terrible things that we're doing to the ocean.
Hmm. All right, I have a question about another discovery. I saw this, that new research shows that hatchlings of Tyrannosaurus were about as big as medium-sized dogs. It says here the first known fossils of Tyrannosaurus embryos suggest the dinosaurs were approximately 3 feet long when they hatched. And I'm looking at this study that says that... they found a jawbone and a claw that were found in Canada and the U.S. Respectively. And then they produced 3D scans of the remains and they figured this out. And I found out they've never found any Tyrannosaurus eggs before.
It's very rare to find dinosaur eggs because eggs, as we all know, are so fragile.
Right.
And the interesting thing with dinosaurs, and I think it's one of the keys to their success, is that the size of the babies does not scale with the ultimate size of the adults. That's the case in mammals, right? So human babies are pretty big and humans are big and giraffe babies are 300 pounds and blue whale babies are 3,000 pounds.
Jesus.
But the biggest dinosaurs, when they're hatched, they're only the size of a small dog or a cat. And so that allows them to do, like, imagine Dreadnoughtus. When it hatches, maybe it's the size of a cat. Now it's doing tiny herbivore things, tiny plant eater things.
Wait a second. So Dreadnoughtus at birth could have been the size of a cat, and yet, how at what rate does it grow?
It's a tremendous rate. I mean, clearly they had a lifelong obsession with eating, and they were very, very efficient at it. And so that allows this one species to capture all these niches in the environment. So it does tiny plant-eater things, medium plant-eater things, really big plant-eater things, and then unbelievably gigantic plant-eater things. So it's this one species filling all these different roles in the ecosystem.
Wow. So, that, I mean, you're talking about a geometric progression of size that's mind-boggling. Yeah, so, really, it would be folly to purchase baby clothes for a granddaughter.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'd be outgrowing them.
I mean, ridiculous.
Week.
Yeah.
Wow.
Although one children's clothing company did make Dreadnought kids' clothes, which we bought for our son when he was a baby.
Well, there you go. So with this knowledge, okay. So the trailer for Godzilla versus King Kong just came out, and I know that there was at one point a very large a primate, like almost a super gorilla, but nothing on the order of King Kong. What was the largest of the simian? Equivalent to gorillas that walk the earth?
Well, I don't think they ever got much bigger than a gorilla. A gorilla is a really big animal.
Yeah.
Our lineage, our primate lineage, isn't, you know, known for being giant, but we have obviously other talents and other demerits.
Right, yeah. I mean, but at a certain size, and I've always heard, like, the structure, say, things become impossible to exist because of size and structure, like the just general physics and stress on a skeletal system, like something like as depicted, you know, a 30-story gorilla is just obviously we know it's not feasible, but just on a basic scientific level, it would defy the laws of science and physics, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's why it's so interesting that with a lot of these new dinosaur discoveries, we're starting to see, it looks like these biggest dinosaur species are starting to cluster in the 60 to 70 ton range.
Okay.
And that makes you think maybe that's as big as a land animal can get.
Okay.
Because one thing that we see in these big giants like Dreadnoughtus, if you look at their bones, constant stress fractures when they're walking. You can see the bone tissue is constantly repairing itself because every step they take, I think, gives them a little bit of a fracture.
God, that's amazing.
If you're just tuning in, it's Dr. Kenneth Lacabara, who is from Rowan University, a professor there. He is the official paleontologist of the Preston Steve Show,
yes,
by the way.
We need to send him a shirt.
We definitely need to do that. Of the creatures that you have studied throughout the years, are you more fascinated with the ones that that live on the land, in the water, in the air? What on a personal level do you find the most interesting?
Well, I have focused on land creatures because all dinosaurs lived on land. But honestly, I mean, nature is amazing. Biology is amazing. You could spend your whole life studying, a particular species of grasshopper or a worm or a beetle or anything, really. It's incredible. What evolution has produced.
Because the freakiest stuff's in the water, to my mind, for
the
some
deadliest,
reason.
Yeah,
I mean, we really don't know what most of the stuff in the water is right now.
We don't know now.
We don't know right now. I mean, there's probably, it might be 90% of species on Earth are yet to be discovered, and most of those are in the deep ocean.
Well, I saw a study that was out of Taiwan, and fossil hunters there found apparently this burrow that they feel was part of housed a prehistoric predator that comes up out of the seabed and then would drag unsuspecting animals down into its lair. And it was supposedly similar to what are called bobbit worms of today, literally named after the John and Lorena Bobbitt case.
No.
Worms were, yeah. So I didn't know if you had seen that story or not, but they found these apparently these layers where these things would come up out of the ocean floor and grab stuff.
It's like
and take them in.
O.J. Simpicus, which would be cut the heads off of its victims. Wow. So you're familiar with what Preston was referring to, Ken?
I'm not, but kind of bringing the conversation full circle there.
Yeah. Okay. I did see something that they found out the mosasaur, I guess. I'm probably not pronouncing that right, but that they're finding things that apparently it had a shark-like teeth they didn't realize that it had before. So you're most formidable. Also, I assume in water, that allows obviously, as with the blue whale, things to get larger because it's buoyant and there's less of that stress, as you talked about earlier, on these, you know, huge dinosaurs. The water allows more potential for bigger size.
Yeah, that's right. I always say, as a dinosaur paleontologist, that the whales are kind of cheating.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm curious, Doctor, what might so and I have, listen, I don't know 4 billion years ago, like you were talking, what the Earth was like. I haven't studied those type of things.
You're a simple man.
I'm a simple man. The polar caps, what I'm curious about, the question that I want to get to is, if we were to able to get down to the deep and dig deep into Antarctica or the northern pole regions, are there things that might be lurking there life-wise that we're not aware of?
There probably are. You know, there's only land in the South Pole in Antarctica, but there have been a few attempts to drill deep into the ice cap, and they have found bacteria down there, and I believe they've found little arthropods, little tiny microscopic organisms. But what's really fascinating to me about Antarctica is, during the time of the dinosaurs, it was still at the South Pole, but it wasn't glaciated. The Earth was very warm then. And so we had a polar forest, but it still got 6 months of darkness. And we don't have an analogous environment to that today. So what's going on for half a year in that dark polar forest? Nobody really knows.
That's why I'm curious. Could there be substantial, I mean, not just microbes and things like that. I mean, could there be sizable creatures that live that we don't even know about?
Well, in the fossil record, absolutely. We know there were dinosaurs in Antarctica, and there were amphibians there. Yeah. There are a couple little bits of Antarctica today that are exposed, the Dry Valley, some of the islands like Vega Island. And paleontologists, I have colleagues that go there every year or so, and they find dinosaur fossils.
Oh, okay. You got to go to Monster Island. I saw a Toho movie, and they definitely have a whole bunch of monsters and dinosaurs there. So, I mean, again, your mind is always open to the potential of life forms that we have yet to discover. You know, Professor, when he was talking about what he's talking about, I'm thinking, hell, like the movie Tremors, could there be subterranean graboids or things of that nature, things that exist down there? I wanted to ask you, for your sweet spot, is the Cretaceous period, is that where you're finding most of your fascination or your focus?
Well, it is. The time of the dinosaurs is the Triassic, the now very famous Jurassic, and the Cretaceous. That's the Mesozoic era. And the Cretaceous is kind of dinosaurs in full bloom.
Yeah.
So that's when we have the greatest dinosaur biodiversity, the greatest expanse of dinosaurs in terms of geography, but also in terms of anatomy, just the craziest dinosaur forms there. So that's where I focus most of my attention, just because, you know, that's where the cool stuff is.
At the height of that, so let's say we're in the absolute the glory days of the Cretaceous period, we're one wandering around, you know, how soon before one would be encountering, you know, life? You know, what was it, just a nonstop conga line of all these things, or would one have to, you know, trek for a while before encountering life?
No, the former. Life was in an abundance beyond what we can conceive of today with our modern perspective. And even just if you go back in the historical past, you know, Lewis and Clark wrote about traveling across the Great Plains and for days beating with a stick, you know, pathways through herds of millions of buffalo. And there used to be passenger pigeons that darkened the sky. And the colonists, when they got to the shores of New England, you know, before they could even get out their fishing nets, the cod were jumping into the ships. And so, you know, that was just within historic times. If you go back to the very lush, warm, verdant Cretaceous, our modern eyes would not understand that scene, the abundance that was present then.
Wow. Okay.
I have a two-part question here, Doctor. How often do you get out and search for new species and new dinosaurs? Like, how often do you go out on digs?
Well, typically in my career, I would head to the Southern Hemisphere in our winter, right, the Southern Hemisphere summer.
Right.
And I would spend 2 to 4 months in the field, living in a tent. I've spent years of my life living in tents and, you know, godforsaken deserts and badlands and places like that.
You're just like Sam Neill.
Yeah.
But now I'm really fortunate in that And we've talked about this a little bit before. At Rowan University, we are developing the Edelman Fossil Park, which is in Mantua Township, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And it's actually one of the best windows into the Cretaceous period in the world. And so now I can go there and I can dig for fossils any day of the week. I was there just yesterday getting my feet muddy.
This is the one that's adjacent to like a Home Depot, right?
It's behind a Lowe's.
Behind a Lowe's.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Doctor, I don't know how confident you are in finding a new species or anything like that, but if you were to find one and you were given the opportunity to name a new dinosaur, could you name it something like the Gadzookasaurus or something along those lines?
Well, you can actually name it whatever you want.
Okay, so if you're saying it's a done deal.
No, he's asking you to name it, Doctor. He's not saying can we if we were to discover it. He's urging you to name it the Gadzookasaurus. That actually does
work.
Roll off the tongue there.
Yeah, it's really good. If you want to be the laughingstock of paleontologists, you can do that.
I got to say, there are some really bad dinosaur names out there because there is no governing body that reviews dinosaur names.
All right, share the stupidest ones.
Well, there's one, I know all these people. So I know,
so be cautious.
But there's one dinosaur, beautiful dinosaur. It's a kind of spinosaur found in South America. It was found in a really hard ironstone. So in the laboratory, it was very difficult to work with, very difficult to prepare. And they named it Irritator.
Irritator? And no.
I just thought that was a shame because they made it all about them, right? Not about this amazing creature.
That sounds like a crappy 70s band.
Yeah.
The Irritator.
Irritator.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, no, I see what you're talking about. I mean, it's fascinating. Are we in a, are we in a time of great discovery as far as the paleontologists and the realm they work in?
Absolutely. If you go back 100 years, there was about one new dinosaur species discovered a year. By the 70s, it was about a half a dozen a year. Now it's one a week.
Whoa! Thank you, Lowe's.
Wow.
You know, the best part is, if you stop and think about it, what better place, especially if you need a shovel or something like that.
That's right.
It's right there.
It's right next door.
Yeah.
Right there. They got picks, shovels, hoses. Anything you're looking for.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way.
It's every paleontologist's dream to have a Lowe's next to their...
Ken, you were talking about a particular dinosaur that they're still unearthing. How long can it take... to completely remove all the pieces that you're looking for? Is this something that can take years to do it right? Or I would imagine it's case by case, but can you give us an example?
For a big dinosaur like that, years. Yeah, it took us 5 years to excavate Dreadnoughtus.
Wow. Yeah, well, you got it. I assume you have to be as careful and as delicate as you possibly can be, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's like doing surgery in the worst possible conditions. So
yeah,
you do have to be really careful. And you have people that, like it might be their first expedition. So you give them big tools like pickaxes and they get to work far away from the dinosaur.
Right.
And as your skill improves, you get smaller and smaller tools and you get to work closer and closer to the dinosaur.
That's how it works. That's how you know you're a head muckety-muckety. In fact, it works conversely as to what we're using. The smaller your pickaxe, the more important you are.
By the time you get to that little brush.
Right.
Or the gentle pick. Yeah.
You're the big kahuna. Yeah.
All right, listen, I have breaking news, news here to pass along. I was just handed this information. Breaking news. Apparently, the governing body has passed this along to me, and Dr. Lacovara has now been named the official Dean of Paleontology at the Just Sayin' Institute here at the Preston and Steve Show. Wow. So congratulations, sir.
That is a much revered learning establishment.
No longer a professor. You are now a Dean of Paleontology at the Just Sayin' Institute. So
you can.
I thought when I received the Explorers Club Medal that was the apex, but.
Nope.
I've surpassed that.
Now it's complete.
And well-deserved, honestly.
All right, well, listen, it is great to catch up with you. We hope you're doing well. Someday we got to come out to Lowe's
and do the big dig.
Do the dig with you. But we'll have to wait until things are a little bit better on the COVID front. But it's good to talk to you, Doctor. Thanks so much for checking in with us this morning.
Likewise. Great to talk to you all.
All right. Let's hear it for the doctor, guys. Lacabara.
Wow.
From the, he's the professor at Rowan University, and it's fascinating stuff. And he's certainly, he's well entrenched in that. He's made all these discoveries. It's amazing.
I love it. Kathy, do you have any interest? Does Jace have any interest in this stuff? Jurassic Park and things of that nature?
He did when he was younger. I'm not sure, you know, not so much now. I actually interviewed a woman who owns a restaurant in Philadelphia.
Dino Burger.
No, it's actually, what is the name of it? Her name is Jill Jett. What is the name of the restaurant? Cool. Anyway, she owns this restaurant. She has all of these like expansive wines, and she travels and she goes on digs.
Huh.
And she, when she's there doing these digs, she will also tour the restaurants and learn about wine and buy wines and bring them back here.
That is an interesting marriage of
totally
things.
Right.
Yeah.
What pairs well with saber-toothed tiger? Right.
I'm going to look up her name in a restaurant so I can give you the correct information. And
Jill Jett. That sounds like that's a radio name or something.
Is Dr. Ken with anybody? Maybe we can hook him up with Jill Jett?
I don't know if he's married or what. We're trying to hook those two kids up together?
That's actually not her name?
I don't know. Okay. I feel like you guys said
it. Oh, it's not her name. Now that we said it, Jill Jett doesn't sound right. All right, anyhow, we'll have to find out a little bit later on. We got to take a break.
Yes.
We got to come back. We got to give away some money.
Yes.
I hope you don't mind that we do that. And it is called No Sad Dough. And I have a little more information about that as we take a break. Stay right there.
It's MMR's
No Sad Dough here.
No Sad Dough for you.
I just won $500.
Yes. Cash money.
No Sad Dough. I'm a winner tonight.
Yes, you are.
Win money. No,
God,
no.
We're just here to try to make 2021 a little better than 2020.
We already started off great with that.
Fantastic.
No, God, no.
Listen, even hours, weekdays. That's 8 and 10 a.m., noon, 2, 4, 6, and 8 p.m. Get the keyword and text it to 45911 or enter it via WMMR.com or our app to also get qualified for the $10,000 grand prize.
No, God, no.
I am damn excited, and I'd love to take you to dinner.
It's on, girlfriend.
From 93.3 WMMR.
You got $500.
I did. I can't believe it.
What are you going to do with it? Buy me a beer? Is that what you said?
Everything that rocks. See official rules at WMMR.com.
All right, let's do this.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by Horizon Services. They take the stress out of your winter heating problems by taking $50 off any heating repair. 2-year guarantee included. Visit horizonservices.com. An Amazon delivery driver says he helped save a Texas infant who was abandoned on the side of a road by a carjacker.
Whoa.
Juan Carlos Flores, an Amazon driver who was working in North Houston, said that he spotted a car seat on the curb while delivering a package, but at first he didn't realize that there was a baby in it. Flores said he thought that a parent might have put the car seat on the curb for a moment.
Right.
But after 10 minutes delivering packages, nobody had come to pick it up, and Flores noticed the car seat contained an infant. He said, "When I saw the baby, I wanted to cry." He said he went to the nearest home, told the residents about the abandoned baby. They called the police, and when officers arrived, Flores said he led the police to the abandoned infant. Said, "I took the police to the house where the baby was, and that's when they told me the baby was stolen with a car, and they left the baby on the side street."
Jeez.
Remember, we had a story the other day of a guy who got into carjacked a car.
Yeah.
The woman left the baby in there. He brought it back and then started chastising the woman he stole the car from.
Yeah.
For having the baby. She had gone inside the store. But they're still searching for the suspect in this particular carjacking. A crying woman identified as a mother arrived shortly after and reunited with her baby. Asked how he feels to have been to have found the abandoned infant. He said, "I feel lucky."
I remember seeing a car seat on the road as I was hiking one time. And I'm like, no, please. It was just empty. But it was like, you always think that.
Yep. Well, you never know what might fall from the sky. The wheel of a small plane bound for O'Hare International Airport landed in a Chicago family's backyard on Thursday evening.
Yay!
The wheel belonged to a single-engine aircraft operating Boutique Air Flight 835 and luckily did not injure anyone in the neighborhood when it crashed down. The flight landed a short time later without incident at O'Hare, and all 7 people aboard were uninjured, according to the FAA. But the aircraft did send a considerable amount of sparks flying down the runway when it touched down. Those living in the home
closest to where the tire landed said that initially they thought the tire was just junk that someone had dumped there. And neighbors said that they heard it hit the ground with a big boom.
Gee, could you imagine?
No. The FAA says that it will be investigating the incident along with the National Transportation Safety Board. A man is facing charges after he led officers on a chase while driving under the influence. And Altoona police said 36-year-old Terry Forinari was drunk and driving on a DUI suspended license when he led officers on a chase, driving away from traffic stop at about 9:30 in the morning. He is accused of running 12 stop signs and one red light before he pulled into a driveway and stopped.
Three more and he would have been in trouble.
An officer tackled Forinari as he ran through the yard. I'll remind you, this is 9:30 in the morning. Police said Forinari had a can of beer in the front pocket of his coat and there was a case of beer on the passenger seat of the car. He has four previous DUI convictions. He is now charged with felony misdemeanor DUI, felony fleeing police, and misdemeanor counts of recklessly endangering another person.
I drink more beer before 10 o'clock than most people do all day.
No kidding.
I watched a guy run four straight red lights today.
Really?
Like, didn't even, like, barely even stopped.
You must have been driving right next to me, even though I know you weren't, because I was, like, an hour late to work today. But I saw a guy blow through two red lights directly in front of me. It wasn't like, no one's speaking and no one's looking. No one's looking.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, I'm directly behind him. Right on through it.
It pisses me off.
Come on, man.
Because I will stop at red lights in the morning.
Of course.
Is there some sort of vague BS rule that you can go, if you stop at that time in the morning? I don't know.
It was out on Belmont, though, dude. And there are cops that hide out on Belmont. Yeah, and that dude's time is, he's biding his time. Because they're going to get him. They're going to bust his ass. But it pissed me off to see
that. It's annoying.
Yeah. Portland police arrested two people they say attacked a man because his car had Vermont license plates.
Vermont!
How dare you.
The suspects yelled at the victim and told him that he shouldn't be in Maine.
Oh.
And assaulted him on
this isn't Vermont!
Friday afternoon. They damaged his car and tried to pull him out of the vehicle. The victim was not seriously hurt, though.
Lou, forget him! I just saw New Hampshire plates!
Police responding to calls from witnesses found that the suspects had fled by the time they arrived, but both were arrested a short time later.
That's being a little too proud of your state.
Nathaniel Glavin and Vanessa Lazaro both face assault and drug charges in the case. All right, it's time! It's 10 o'clock, here we go!
93.3 WMMR presents...
All right, we got a word for you, and we got money to give away. Our keyword for the hour is excellent.
Excellent.
E-X-C-E-L-L-E-N-T. There's two L's in there. Keep that in mind. E-X-C-E-L-L-E-N-T.
Excellent.
And you have until 15 minutes after the hour to enter it. Three ways to do it. Via text to the special contest short code, which is 45911, or you can also be entered for the $10,000 grand prize if you enter via the MMR app or at WMMR.com. One random entry wins $500 in this company-wide contest. That person will get a call from Beasley, but be sure you answer your phone. Contest rules are available at WMMR.com. So again, the word is...
Excellent.
E-X-C-E-L-L-E-N-T. It's sick.
Bill and Ted and Cowper.
Oh, God.
Excellent.
Could you imagine?
We have to write the greatest song ever.
All right. So good luck to you. Enter it now, and we will see if you win in a little bit. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. We also have some stuff to give away with our lesson question. Trash and music news are coming up. Our pets' heads are falling off.
Yes!
We'll be right back. Make sure that you stay with us.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
You still have about 2 minutes left to get our code word over for the hour. The keyword, I should say, for No Sad Dough. And the word is excellent. E-X-C-E-L-L-E-N-T. You better do it quickly. You're running out of time, okay? You can text it over to our special contest short code number, which is 45911, or enter through the MMR app or at WMMR.com. We'll see if we get a winner here in just a little bit. Programming note. Kathy wants to... we were talking about something earlier, and she misstated.
Yeah, let's go back. So we had our guest on.
Dr. Ken.
Oh, the doctor? Dr.
Ken.
Yeah, Dr. Yes. Ken Lecovara.
The and paleontologist.
Then, yes, and then I mentioned a woman who is in the Philadelphia area. She is a restaurateur, wine enthusiast, right. And an archaeologist, and she goes on digs. I called her Jill Jett. Yeah. So her name is Jill Weber, and she owns Jett Wine Bar.
Okay.
Oh, so I was close.
Okay. So, yeah, it's not Judy Jetson.
I've heard of Jett Wine Bar before.
Yeah, it's a great wine bar, and she is awesome. And it just was like, you know, my mind went blank. I couldn't remember it. And, yeah, I interviewed her years ago, and we talked about both and how they kind of worked in together. And, yeah, it was a really cool interview. She was awesome, and Jett Wine Bar is great.
Okay, cool. Glad we got that straightened out now.
We're nothing if not accurate.
We're going to... No.
We're gonna, accurate after we fix ourselves.
We're going to ask today's lesson question, and we're going to give away a $50 Metro Diner gift card for the correct answer. I think I'm going to go with this. What anchor once hosted the show Beat the Clock? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer, okay? So what anchor once hosted Beat the Clock? Not really. 215-263-WMMR. WMMR will do the trash while you are calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, let's see what stories we get. Steve, what's going on?
Well, yesterday we talked about this after announcing his retirement from NBC News. Legendary anchor Tom Brokaw revealing what his plans are for the future. Brokaw, who authored the highly acclaimed The Greatest Generation about World War II veterans, says he is currently writing the definitive biography of Norma Stitz.
Oh, my God.
Bridget Moynihan sent a supportive tweet to her ex Tom Brady after he solidified his 10th trip to the Super Bowl. Wrote Moynihan, quote, "Water under the bridge. So proud of you, Tom. My best to both you and your Brazilian whore." And finally, Kodak Black apparently promised to donate $1 million to charity if Donald Trump pardoned him from prison. Now that President Trump has done so, Black appears to be backpedaling a bit, saying, "How can you trust a felon?" And that's your Hollywood Trash.
Alrighty, we will see if somebody knows the answer to the lesson question. Who hosted the show Beat the Clock? What anchor once hosted the show Beat the Clock? And I will go to Ed to see if he knows the answer. Good morning, Ed.
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks said, all right, who hosted Beat the Clock at one time?
That would be Walter Cronkite.
Yeah. You got it. Hang on a second, Ed. We're going to get you a $50 Metro Diner gift card. Welcoming 2021 with a Waffle Evolution. Metro Diner launch. 3 stuffin' waffles.
Ooh.
Piled high with comforting toppings like sausage, gravy, and chicken tenders.
God, that sounds good.
Stacked on a waffle pressed from savory stuffing. You can visit MetroDiner.com to view their menu today. I never did point out last week this music. Casey was very proud that he decided to use for our winning music. And this is from Kill Bill, Volume 1, I think.
Yes, because that's where he fights she's Copperhead, right? Yeah.
Yes,
Lucy Liu.
And this is from that fight sequence. Love it. All right, music news. Let's get to it.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! All right, I got a couple stories to pass along to you. We're going to start with this one. It appears that guitarist Dave Kooning has reunited with the Killers. It can be spotted in footage that the band shared of themselves in the studio recently, working on the follow-up to their 2020 album, Imploding the Mirage.
Dave!
In 2017, Kooning had left the group to pursue a solo career, which resulted in the release of his album, his debut album, Prismism. In 2019.
Now known as Nobody Buys It, isn't
it? I guess so, right? The upcoming project will be the Killers' 7th album, by the way.
Love the Killers.
Bruce Springsteen's early 1970s surfboard
from his Jersey Shore days.
He was a surfer?
Yeah, is now being displayed at Cleveland's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Museum.
That's a surf.
The Springsteen surfboard is part of the other new artifacts, including a Cleveland Cavaliers rock-themed City Edition uniform.
So pitted.
Outfits worn by Harry Styles, Laura Jane Grace, and Jadina. Maylene Moy's guitar. I don't know some of these people.
What?
And more. So back in July, Springsteen had spoken about his love for the beach. He explained, there's nothing like the sea at night when the water is slightly warmer than the air, even though the air is humid after a 95-degree day.
Huh. I knew he was a boardwalk kind of guy. I didn't figure him as a surfing kind of guy.
He said, God, I love swimming at night. It is all darkness and mystery. It is the void, and it must be done naked.
And you can play with the sharks.
Clothes at the waterline, please. Do this, and my pilgrim, you will become cleansed, he says. So that's him speaking kind of, you know, poetically. Do this, my pilgrim, and you will become cleansed. Never will the evening air or a kiss on the beach or a dry towel ever feel so good again. The walk to the car will be filled with starlit grace, and you will never forget it. Once you hit the water, you will be covered in the blossoming beauty of your youth, no matter how old you are or whoever you're with.
Wow.
You will always remember them. I can safely say I've never been in the ocean at night, I don't think.
No. Feeling the salt water cascade over your nutsack.
I'm going to have to change that this year.
Yeah. Yes, you do.
You should be careful.
Yeah.
No doubt. Because the things that are nocturnal are things that are more likely to come in closer to the shore. You want to be careful. Monsters. Kraken. The stuff like that. Clash of the Titans. That thing's a bastard.
I did see that thing. It's pretty big, too.
If you do go swimming, have the head of the Hydra with you.
Medusa.
Medusa.
Yeah. I thought I lost my brother and best friend at the same time in the ocean one night.
Oh my God!
They disappeared. My brother went in first, and then he disappeared, and then my best friend went in to save him, and I was in there as well, and then he disappeared, and I'm like, I can't go in to find somebody that I can't see.
Right. Exactly,
it wouldn't make sense.
And,
yeah,
and so I there's
Be
no
stupid.
So there's no use in three of us dying. And then so I ended up getting out, and then, God, man, 10 minutes went by, and they...
Must have seemed like an hour.
It felt like forever, Steve. Yeah. And I thought they were gone, and then eventually I saw them both. They were down shore, actually, technically
upshore.
You said
they came riding up on dune pumas.
No, well, it was around the same time as dune puma, Steve. But I guess it was a riptide, a rip current.
Yeah, and pull them down.
It washed them.
It's scary as hell.
Washed them 100 yards or more down the beach.
But the ocean itself, just sitting and looking at it, is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm going to take Bruce's advice.
You can go swimming naked.
Swimming naked.
Give me a call when you're down here, man. Yeah,
what the hell? I'll do it. Absolutely. So
we'll reenact that scene from Here to Eternity.
Yeah, where you're rolling and kissing in the sand and so on. Me and you, me and Bruce. Be that way. All right, let's see what else I have for you here. Korn guitarist Brian Head Welch has revealed that he and his bandmates have some exciting news to share soon. He said, I asked the manager because I'm doing Love and Death, but I know people are going to ask me about Korn. And he said, just tell them the truth. Tell them that you've been getting together with him, you're working on some stuff, and that we've got some really exciting news coming out. And I think we're going to make some kind of announcement pretty soon, and
Nice. That's
pretty much all I can say. He said, I think it's no secret that every band is getting together and there's probably going to be a lot of records coming out. We've been throwing ideas back and forth. And it's been hard because of the pandemic and whatnot, because Monkey, which is Schaefer's, they just call him Monkey. That's right. James Monkey Schaefer.
That's right.
Lives in Los Angeles, right in the thick of it. One in five people has it there. He said, thank God Monkey has not got it. He lives with his wife and his family and his mother-in-law, and they've got to be careful with her. So maybe some new music from Korn coming out. Should be cool.
And Monkey.
One last story. In a new interview with Modern Drummer magazine, Alex Van Halen spoke about Van Halen's two iconic frontmen, David Lee Roth and Sammy Hagar, in an interview conducted before Eddie had died last October, but finally published now. He spoke about the original connection between the group's original lineup and the importance of producer Ted Templeman, recalling... Part of it was the conflict between the band and Dave. One of the things that made everything work was that we came from opposite ends of the spectrum. Dave was vaudeville, Ed and I were coming from Cream, Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath. So having that strange chemistry is what made it work, oddly enough. But you do need a mediator. Otherwise, we would have never gotten anything done. He wanted to say, if Dave came in with a song, I would respect how they heard it. And then it's the old trick. Keep your friends close and your enemies closer. And that means, okay, I'll listen to you, but then I'm going to make it mine. And by the end of the process, it will sound nothing like what you hummed me. He went on to say about Roth, saying we grew up together. Regarding Sammy Hagar, he said he has a great rhythmic sense and, of course, that voice. Dave was much more of a poet. Dave is creative. 90% of it is garbage, but that 10% is effing worth it. What planet did you come from? Meaning Dave. So that's what he said about his the two singers.
Eddie's birthday today.
It is. And I had always known it was Eddie's birthday because there was nobody interesting on my birthday, yeah. Which was yesterday.
But the next day.
The next day was Eddie Van Halen's. And there's not many other than Eddie that I forgot the birthday. Well, no, wait, actually, I did go through some pretty interesting birthdays today. But I remember Eddie being the one that always stood out to me.
Who was yesterday? There's nobody of any?
Well, the one that came along was Alicia Keys.
Alicia, that's right.
Eventually.
Yes.
But when I was younger and noted other celebrities on my birthday, Alicia was still
she's not around.
A kid.
Yeah.
And so her birthday wasn't, she wasn't a star yet. So
Bruce was skinny dipping off the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, so, you know, I couldn't include him. I don't even know when his birthday
is. I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in music news. All right, well, we're gonna take a break. That was me. I'm almost me and Casey with the no sad dough. Tattoos Day. Last chance to text in because we have a tattoo to give away from Floating World Tattoo and Piercing on South Street. You can check them on Instagram at Floating World Tattoo. We want to make sure you have a chance to win a Presidency tattoo. So text the word tattoo to 39333. We're going to take a break. Come back in a second. Get ready to wrap it up. Make sure you stay with us.
WMMR. We're not just in your car anymore. Ask Alexa to open MMR and we'll come streaming right into your house. And we promise we're not listening to you doing stuff that often.
Tuesday morning. Where the hell is that wintry mix they've been talking about?
It was supposed to, actually. It was supposed to be overnight. Now they pushed it back, right, Kathy?
Yeah, they keep pushing it. So now they're saying, like, closer to noon.
Okay.
And it's really, they're not saying it's going to be a lot.
They keep pushing it, like that, like the sheriff in Rambo. You have to push it. That sheriff.
I just want to pass through town.
So push him over the edge.
Just a wintry mix trying to get through town. You keep pushing me.
Oh, man. So they were calling for like some sleet, maybe a little bit of snow, definitely turning to rain, and it was supposed to have happened already. So, all right, noonish.
I see some rain out there.
You do?
Yeah. A little bit.
Okay. You have those eyes, man. You have that 1,000-yard stare.
It's like a numb.
Yeah, that's right.
Wintry mixes all the time.
Yeah, yeah. It must have been terrible. So around
Budweiser, monster, and they call the next chapter in the Rambo story.
Yeah.
Drinkenstein, I'm coming for you.
In the laboratory where he makes his transformation all the time.
I can't believe that we've listened to this enough times where we know some of the words to it.
And it does affect me different every time.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, man.
Okay.
You
stopped.
I already did.
Yeah, you don't want to give away the whole story.
All the time.
Yeah, you got to watch Rhinestone for yourself.
Yeah. Can't give the whole movie away.
Time. Out loud.
Come on.
Budweiser.
That's when he was purposely. He was. Eventually, he becomes a great country singer at the end.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I remember about that movie is he's trying to pander to the crowd. He's like, "Hey, where are all the pretty ladies out there?" And he's getting nothing in return. And
he goes,
"Where are the horny ladies? Where are the ugly ladies?
Yeah. The ugly ladies."
Yeah. He's saying, "Like, where are the beat up ugly ladies at?"
Really?
Yes.
Oh my God! What a
listen.
Joke.
My memory is not. Not all that great, so maybe I was wrong, but
I don't know.
That's my memory.
I tried to shut that out of my
it
memory.
Broke one of the cardinal rules of a comedy, which is being not funny.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, you can't. You have to be funny.
Steve,
if you're gonna make a comedy.
Who was the director?
Oh, wow.
See,
you know it.
Rhinestone.
He knows it?
Well, it's a well-known director for a different movie.
It's not Albertson, right?
No, it's Bob Clark, who directed A Christmas Story and Porky's.
Wow.
He did Porky's?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the same guy who did Porky's did A Christmas Story.
Wow.
And he's just a great director.
Oh, yeah. You remember when Ralphie puts his penis in the hole?
Oh, absolutely. My God.
And that's the woman on the other side grabs it.
Right.
And, okay, I forgot about that.
It
makes
was
sense.
Soap.
Bob Clark. Okay. Thank you to Dr. Kenneth Lacavara, who is now the Dean of Paleontology at the Just Sayin' Institute. He's also a professor at Rowan University.
The official paleontologist of the President Steve Show.
That is correct. He was great. I love talking about
it. We just throw questions at him. We are so stupid when it comes to this, but we are fascinated.
Yeah.
And we hope that's the charm, is that we are perpetually fascinated by this.
And he has all the answers. So that was cool to have him on this morning, which is great. All right, we need to do the letter of the day, and I think Casey's going to handle that, right, Case?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter
P, as in Peppa Pig.
All right, and we now have two letters. We need five to make a word, and we are going to give away Stateside Vodka, an entire case of award-winning vodka, along with four custom Stateside Rocks glasses. Stateside products are available at your local liquor store and now shipping nationwide, so you can send to all your friends and your family out of town as well. Visit statesidevodka.com for details. You must be 21 or older to enter and win. Oh, it's Tattoos Day. We got to give that away. How about that? We've had people text in all morning long. We'll grab a random texter to win a Preston and Steve themed tattoo, and it goes to Danielle Bear.
Yay!
Of Churchville, Pennsylvania.
Churchville.
Yeah, she gets the $350 gift certificate for Floating World Tattoo and Piercing. And if you want to check out their handiwork, you can certainly do that. They are on Instagram at Floating World Tattoos, or you can check out their website at floatingworldtattoos.com, or you can just swing by the shop. And it is located at 1729 South Street in Philadelphia. So congratulations. All right, let me thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you by Acme Markets, fresh foods, local flavors. Tomorrow on our program, it's Wednesday, we'll go live on Fox Good Day. We have a good friend, comedian Gary Goldman.
Is great.
And he is going to be joining us tomorrow. And we'll also talk to actor Michael Chiklis as well.
He's got a new show called The Coyote.
Yes. We will spend some time with both those guys tomorrow. That is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you later. Pierre is in next.
The Preston and Steve Small Business Love You, Help You line.
Hello, this is Todd from Douglas L. Gibson Enterprises Incorporated. Are you looking for a great way to enhance your deck or patio with shade from a retractable awning or screen system? D.L. Gibson is your family-owned and operated Sunsetter and New Image retractable awning authorized dealer. Check us out online at dlgibson.com to set up your free awning consultation today. Mention this ad and receive an extra $200 off your purchase of any awning.
Next message.
Good morning. This is Andrew, the owner and head technician at On Demand Oil Change. We're bringing a more convenient oil change experience to Delaware by bringing our shop to your driveway. Find us on Facebook at On Demand Oil Change LLC or call me personally at 302-498-3851. Mention Preston and Steve and receive $5 off your first oil change.
The Love You, Help You line. Shop local because small business needs our help. Find out more at PrestonandSteve.com. 93.3 WMMR. Putting Philly first. Sponsored by DellAutoGroup.com, where Jack really does sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.